my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, the show is.
PFW in progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, the show is.
PFW in progress. And Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. 2 weeks approximately before Super Bowl 49, and that includes the New England Patriots, baby. They've won the AFC Championship, of course, beating, I don't know if beating's the right word, humiliating the Indianapolis Colts 45-7, as Paul aptly predicted. No contest. The rest of the world was a little bit more worried. Paul had it right, and so the Patriots advanced to play the Seattle Seahawks. Two Sundays from now, and life couldn't be better for if you're a New England Patriots fan, baby. I mean, we're going into this game as healthy as we've ever gone into a Super Bowl in years. And, you know, so things are good. Things are good. I'm excited.
80 degrees in Arizona, baby.
I'm excited about that.
Eric Packy has shorts. The green crew neck on. It's
actually
unbelievable.
No, Fred, this is orange.
Yellow.
I don't know what you're looking at. But
it's green. So this is good stuff here.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
And you even got to see the Seahawks look more human than they've looked, I think, over the last month or so.
Well, I mean, you know, we've got a long time to get into, you know, what the Seahawks pose, what kind of threats they pose for the Patriots. And we will do that over the next 2 weeks. For those interested in what the schedule is, it's a normal schedule, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. Obviously nothing over the weekend. And then next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll be live from Arizona, the team hotel.
A week from today, media day.
Media day, week from – oh, that's right.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah. It's not at the stadium.
I'm disappointed. It's not at the stadium. Well, you weren't happy either.
We talked about it.
Well, it's at the arena in Phoenix.
Yeah, I know. That's a letdown.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's a letdown.
Now, we were talking,
I understand why they're doing it, but
– I don't understand any reason why. I don't like it. It's tradition. It's the first chance. I said, that's when Malcolm Butler gets a chance to kind of be in awe for a day before he becomes, you know, cornerback New England Patriots who has to do your job. And you hear players talk about that. It's kind of cool to see. And now they're going to be in some bleeping basketball arena.
Yeah.
And I understood it in MetLife. Okay, it's cold out. It might be a blizzard. You don't want to have media day in that. But it's Arizona. There's a roof. You do whatever you need to do. And now, we were wondering if there was anything at all because the Pro Bowl and wheeling the field
that's,
out.
No, that's why I understand.
It's not. It's in fact, Glendale came out with a statement that said, you know, when we got the Super Bowl bid and we won it, we knew at that time that the city of Glendale was going to be downplayed this year, and there weren't going to be as much stuff done in Glendale, including media day.
That's terrible.
So
that's...
They said they knew in 2008, I guess, is when they knew they were going to get the Super Bowl or something like that. They weren't going to use Glendale as much as they had.
I don't care. They can do everything else not in Glendale.
There are two things that they need to do in Glendale. Play the game and have media day. What else are they doing in Glendale?
They have some other things, too. That...
Okay, so eliminate those. I don't care about those because I don't even know what those are.
Put those in Phoenix or Scottsdale or whatever.
I don't think it had to do with the Pro Bowl.
No, it didn't. From what everything I've heard is they wanted to sort of centralize everything right in Phoenix.
Exactly.
And that's great. That's fine. Yeah. I don't care.
I just don't like it. It just, I know. It doesn't have the same feel.
It'll have a different feel, yeah. I get, you know, and I think Andy's point is the best. It's the first time for the players to get into the stadium and kind of see it.
And you've heard players talk about that. Wow, you know, it's cool to be here and see all the logos.
Yeah.
And it's a, and that's their wow moment before they become workers.
Yeah. It feels like the official welcome to Super Bowl week.
Yeah, no, I'm sure,
you know, party.
I'm sure, like, this arena is going to be dressed up and have.
Yeah, but it's not the field. It's not the field.
Plus, you get to see I also want to know how it works.
I'm kind of with Paul. I don't really care.
I don't care what
I'm also a little worried about the space.
Yeah.
Because we have an entire football sideline that gets congested, and now we're going to be in a smaller area.
Yeah, but when you think about it, when you look at it from above, and they have those, you know, shots from above. It's everyone's congested in one area.
One sideline.
It's a sideline.
So now we're going to be spread out over. Well, there's no sidelines. There's just a basketball court.
Well, whatever. Don't you think they're going to figure this out?
Because they never
mess up. Well, they did it for New York on an indoor
thing. I wasn't there.
So, right, so it didn't happen.
Get Andy's stamp of approval.
Exactly. You
know? Exactly.
And he had that look on his face this morning. I could tell.
All right.
He's been looking like he wants to open a can of whoop ass on something.
Well, I'm annoyed. Are we going to get into it?
The Deflategate?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, here's my take on this. I don't know whether it's true or not. Probably isn't. But if I'm the Patriots, there's no way at this point you're going to convince anyone that think the Patriots are cheaters that they're not, you know. So I say embrace it. You know, every time somebody mentions it.
Suck my underinflated ball.
Give them a wink. Give them a wink and a smile and say, hey, you never know what we could be doing. You know, and if the Seattle Seahawks spend more than 10 minutes thinking about what the Patriots might be doing, Patriots win.
Well, I do think in that perspective, if you think about some of the great coaches and guys that had these legacies, they were all cheaters. From Red Auerbach to Bud Wilkinson to Hayden Fry to whoever you want to list. And that was almost back then part of it. It was like a badge of honor the way you manipulated things for your advantage.
But whether it's true or not, I say, you know what? Play into it. Hey, you never know what we could do. Better be on your toes.
So you don't.
But they're not
going to
do that. Fred.
Should be removed from the Super Bowl.
I'd say
like
we
Michael
should
Wilpon
do that.
Said.
What?
You don't think they should be removed from the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think so.
Can you imagine some poor graphic designer somewhere who's like all in now? The game ends and they're doing T-shirts and logos and. Oh, the Patriots are out, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And there's no game because it's just vacated.
This guy Rosenberg from SI had this
cultural
story
on vacation
today
now
on SI.com about, you know, how. You know, there's rumors that the Cowboys get secrets and, you know, the video board at CBS Scene is something that the Patriots use. If he had just been here for like 2 seconds, he would know that that's one of the most ridiculous things ever. You know, so listen, like I said, there's nothing the Patriots or we or the PR staff of the Patriots can do to convince people otherwise. So laugh it off.
And I think those people, if you want to be a true hater and conspiracy theorist, those people hurt their argument when they include dumb stuff with the real stuff.
Right.
Okay, Spygate existed. They were fined by that. But a lot of them say, you know, Spygate, when he was fined and lost a draft pick for taping a Rams practice.
Right.
No, that's not actually, you don't have the facts right,
I
so therefore you devalue your entire platform.
Right.
Get the facts right and say, yes, they...
Microphone just collapsed.
The ghost of Bill Belichick is in the room and he's not happy. But I just, when you go to such extremes, there are legitimate things that you can question if you're a hater. Then you lump in all these others and you become Andy, right? My little arguments where I go to the extreme and the stupid.
Right. But like I said, there's nothing the Patriots can do to defend themselves at this point.
But my bigger issue
is... So just wink and say, yeah, you never know what we might do.
I don't understand why it's not over already. Whatever it is. If they cheated, they cheated. If they didn't, they didn't.
If the league had just used the same diligence with the Ray Rice thing that they're using with deflated footballs, you know?
And I golden feel like, cleats and...
I feel like by 2 a.m. on Monday, they should have had a thing that... One of those gauges. Oh, it's underinflated. Right. Oh, another one under... they were doing something. They're all underinflated.
Every second you get away from the game itself means that... There's less evidence, and there's less reliable
evidence. It's that chain of, I couldn't think of the word.
Custody?
Chain of custody that they always claim in the MLB when they're trying to fight drug tests. Oh, so-and-so, where was it for this minute? It was in a fridge. It could have been this. What?
Right.
Like, these balls now that, and the first story said we're going to weigh them. Well, no, you're not going to weigh them. Weighing them is not what we are questioning here. It's whether they were properly inflated PSI. You got to check the pressure
right.
in them. Because, yes, after a game in the downpours, they're going to weigh more than they did to start
Absolutely.
The game in the downpours.
Yeah. Right.
So weight is not an issue here. It's pounds per square inch.
That's right.
That's the issue.
Right.
And I feel like that should have been known already. I think you're onto something. I think the refs have been asleep at the wheel forever. They probably don't check the balls with an actual gauge pregame. So they don't even have the baseline. They don't know what it was pregame, postgame.
Right.
So they screwed up.
Yep.
And now it's, you know, typical ass covering time.
And I heard both teams scuff up the ball, kind of, you know, get it to where the quarterback likes it. What's that all about?
We
know they've done
that.
It in baseball for years, but I didn't know that they did
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. You're given whatever it is, the 90
12.
Minutes or whatever
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah.
You're given time to do
I
that.
I mean, what like, to what degree can you scuff it up? Or you know,
I don't really
what
know
it,
the
what
answer
is that
of
all
that.
About? You know?
That is, I've always wondered that.
Yeah.
What if I take sandpaper to it and you can't even read the damn thing when I'm done with
right,
it?
Like, right.
You know, I don't know. But, yeah, I've known you get your time to play with the balls before the game. Do whatever you want.
I had to laugh preemptively for you because right. I knew that's what you were thinking.
All right. So, but more importantly, this game.
James Devlin.
Against the Colts.
Oh,
I mean, listen, I made a guest appearance on the Xbox post-game show. I felt my duty to do that. And I said during that game, I was shocked. I thought the Colts defense would come out and at least have a better showing than the first game. They were worse.
I thought after three previous tries with Andrew Luck against this team, I thought for sure the fourth time they'll at least be close,
yeah.
competitive. New England will pull away at some point, but
right.
Boy, they pulled away
and
early.
Luck sucked.
He sucked from the get-go.
And
that's the first one of the four games that he sucked.
Opposite of being perfect, where we said he had to have that performance where he became elite, he was the other end. He sucked.
I did think that the Patriots' defense would do a good job against him, but the Colts' defense is what shocked me. They just gave up, and they had no answer for anything.
Well, I don't think they gave up when it was competitive.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
they gave up when it was over
because their quarterback let them down.
And that could be that they were deflated because of the play they saw from their leader.
I thought
the wind was sucked out of their sails.
I actually thought the game
they blew it.
If you had told me that Luck was going to play like that, I would have thought it would have been worse.
Pumped up.
I thought it would have gotten out of hand a lot faster than it did, and I thought that the Colts defense would have. For example, I don't think the Colts. I would have been stunned if you told me the Colts defense was going to stop them. What? 5-6 times inside the 5-yard line at the end of the first half. I never would have predicted that. If you had told me Luck was going to play like that, I would have said, you're looking at, 50-60 points easy.
Right.
And not 17-7 at the half.
Yeah, I think from
a 17-7 game at the half.
Paul's way of saying the Patriots aren't that good.
No, it's my way of saying if you had told me that Luck was going to be that bad.
Well, I don't think the Colts defense is very good.
Yeah, I think the Colts.
I think they
less
played
of the
pretty
Colts
well.
Than you do. I'm with Andy.
If they had anything from their offense and their special teams, they did their part to try to create a game, to be competitive. You know, for them to – you say they gave up. The end of the second quarter, after they had given up a punt bouncing off a guy's face, you know, there were reasons they could have turned it in. They're still fighting.
Right.
They held you to a field goal there. That's them still very much in this game, but – Luck was just too crappy. And then as soon as he comes out and he's not any better in the second half and the Patriots just start doing what
they
do.
Then I think Fred's thing came into play.
Yeah, they all gave up.
I think they quit.
Dwayne Allen gave up. He's on offense. He gave up.
Yeah.
Reggie Wayne, remember when they showed that shot of Reggie Wayne?
Shaking his head.
He gave up. You could visually see the give up in his face. And the guy's a Hall of Fame competitor who's been in these before. So I actually think the defense might have given up last. Because I think the receivers gave up because they were, you know, getting Randy Moss where balls were just sailing over their heads. And Luck sucked. Just flat out.
He did. He had a bad game.
Well, it was. Listen, the conditions were
flat
bad.
Flat out.
You know, it was a driving rain at times, windy. So it wasn't really a good passing game.
Both teams had to play in it.
I know.
Both teams
had
to throw in it.
Or did they?
You know, and you know, you get the whole thing about the dome.
Oh.
The dome team. And, you know, is this part of that? That, you know, you play half your games in a sterile environment. You play Houston, that's also indoors. You know, Jacksonville, which is nice weather for the most part. Does that prepare you for these types of games, and how could it, you know?
Yeah, he was sailing some of the balls early, and he addressed it, like, in the second question of his press conference. You know, balls get away from me. I have to get on top of those, and that's what was happening. They were just airmailing them, and that was the beginning of the
ball felt good. That ball there had silicone on it.
So the Patriots advanced. LeGarrette Blount, another big game against the Colts. He just has his way with them. Edelman missed a third down conversion.
Mr. Punt return, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
couple punt returns. The first one didn't really matter, but the second one got you a score, and you could say the first one, I guess, set you up for the punt.
Now, up until the end, I think they once again did a pretty good job on Gronkowski.
Yeah.
You know, and even the touchdown he scored, the guy was all over him.
Yeah, he was very quiet.
You know? But, you know
what? That means he's due for a big Super Bowl, Fred.
Yeah.
Big
Super Bowl.
Chancellor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the fact that they have, with the exception of Stork, their key guys are as healthy as you can expect going into a Super Bowl. They haven't been able to say that. Last couple of times.
And you crossed your fingers when Revis left in the
first quarter. Yeah, that's the first thing.
Concussion test by the looks of it on the sideline, but then he was fine and
he
came back.
He seemed fine.
Yep.
Gronk made it through.
Yep.
Brady
got
made
a healthy
it through.
Gronk in the Super Bowl.
Healthy
How you
Gronk,
like
healthy
apples.
Brady, healthy Revis.
We're good to go. Good to go.
No excuses.
Yep.
If they can get Stork back, even better.
Yeah. What do you think the chances of that are?
61%.
Obviously, this week will be helpful when we go to see practice and if he's even out there at all. But
he will be. He'll be limited this week.
I think there's a good chance he plays.
Okay.
Or maybe next week.
Maybe next week. But
if they knew, they would have put him on IR, right?
Right. If he was done, he'd be done.
If he was done, he'd be done, I think. Yeah, because then you want to shuffle your roster somehow and do things.
But give the line credit. I thought they were
good.
They did. They did a lot of different things. They had... You know, Klein got the start, but then Cannon came in on the goal line for beefiness, and Fleming was in there, and Solder moved out, and caught. You know, I thought for the most part the line was good.
And Klein, I thought, did a pretty good job. They had him pulling a lot, and he made a few nice blocks. He had a much better game than when he came in against Baltimore.
I mean, Brady wasn't sacked, and you rushed for.
He was sacked once.
Was he?
Yeah. But it was
close.
Minimal.
Certainly wasn't beat the hell out of him like he was the
week
before.
Didn't have any pressure.
We didn't expect him
They didn't really have any pressure on the passer. I thought Blunt was really good in that game.
And then when Cortez Kennedy came back, I mean, Arthur Jones, he did.
I thought Blunt made a lot of guys, either broke tackles in the backfield or made guys miss even with some of those stop-and-go cuts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sharp cuts in the hole. You know, I thought Blunt really ran well in that game.
Hashtag.
No, I don't want to get
Was it raining in the game last
year? I got yelled at during the game.
The Colts game
last
year?
No, it was the Bills game was the rain game, right? The big game he had before
Colts,
that.
It was raining.
No, but I mean,
and the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It was both games where LeGarrette went off.
That's why
off,
I don't think the weather
game.
Had anything to do with Luck on Sunday. Because I think Luck was much better last year
in the rain. Yeah.
Than he was Saturday night in the rain.
Were his balls last year?
I think he threw some interceptions, but he also threw a lot of good passes in the game. He didn't throw any good passes in the game, except for the one maybe that Heron dropped down the sideline. He didn't have a lot of good throws in that game.
No, he had horrific throws. And not just touch throws or sailing throws. He had a variety of different ways that his throws were off.
The one he tried to throw through Ninkovich that really got
literally,
on the
he tried to throw it through him. The ball never had a chance to be completed.
I thought that was it right there. As we should watch
I thought it was, too.
The replay on
the NFL just,
Network.
He was horrific. There's no two ways about it. And I hear him starting to get a little criticism for lack of fire and just ho-hum, I got to play better, I was subpar today. So he's starting now into that area where you get blown out to end every season. Well, when are you not going to get blown out to end a season? When are you going to show up?
You know what I like, though, is, and I don't know if you heard this, and this is what you're referring to, Andy, but on the way home, I like listening to some of those overnight guys that you never get a chance to hear. Man, some of those guys are bad. They were talking along those lines, you know, with Luck. And I have no problem. Listen, if you were one of those guys like our boy Beetle on Andrew Luck and you feel like he's gotten too much too soon, he hasn't earned yet. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. I disagree with you, but that's certainly a relevant opinion that you think maybe Luck is credited too soon. I heard a guy say, you know, and when is it time to start talking about this Colts team? I mean, we give the Bengals a lot of crap for going to the playoffs every year and losing. That's the same?
As going to the AFC
title game? Go to the Colts go to the playoffs the first year with Luck, and they lose the first game. The next year, they win a game, then they lose the second game. The next year, they win two games, and then lose
that's
the AFC
progress.
Championship. There's a progression going on here.
In the right direction.
There's one team that's moving in the right direction, and the other team is a flat-out embarrassment. That's the same?
Although, if you're a Colts fan, they keep losing to the Patriots. It's like the 2000s, whatever, all
well,
over
it's
again.
Well, it's like,
Son of a!
Yeah.
Get that team
off
the field.
See, I actually think that's a point in the Colts' favor. They're not losing at home
to
San
Diego. If you're
arguing
with an idiot like that, yes.
They're losing to the Patriots.
But it's not a point in your favor if you're a Colts
fan. If the Bengals had got knocked out.
You're sick of the Patriots.
But if the Bengals had got knocked out 2 years in a row to the Patriots, I'd be a little bit more sympathetic to Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis. Well, you know, you're playing a playoff-tested team, and that's a tough out.
Right. No, my point is, if you're a Colts fan, you have the potential to go through, like, 25, 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacks who can't get past the Patriots. That'd be a kick in the nuts.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500. Let's get to some of the emails here. Everybody's excited, but this Deflategate, people want to talk about it. So we're email and caller-driven radio, so we'll take them as
they come. Yeah, we can't ignore it.
Jared from Chicago, Deflategate comes down to chain of evidence. The Colt player took the ball to his sideline and then turned it in. How do we know he didn't tamper with it or one of the coaches? If only the Patriots were allowed to film the actions of coaches and players of the sideline, then we'd know the truth.
Well, very good. They're not going to get in trouble if one ball is underinflated. I don't believe. I can't imagine that be the case. I think where you're in trouble is if you have a dozen footballs that compare very drastically differently from the Colts' dozen footballs.
Here's my question. The league has this several paragraphs worth of language about the football itself and how it's supposed to be treated and how many each team gets and all this. And then up until kickoff, right when the game starts, then they say, okay, they have them under lock and key with the officials, and then, okay, now the sidelines each get the balls, and that's the end of it. Why isn't there someone, they have someone dedicated to everything else in this league. Why don't they have somebody on the sideline dedicated to overseeing the footballs?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where it goes, but I have always thought it was weird that the home team provides all these guys that stay on the visiting team sideline. That doesn't pass the smell test.
I don't, you know.
The smell test, Paul,
yeah.
And I was talking about?
Yep.
That's weird that Patriots ball boys are on the Colts sideline.
I'm
not saying they're cheating.
No.
And I'm not saying anyone.
It happens
in every
state.
But that culminated to
stupid.
Me.
Stupid.
That was never more apparent to me than back in the day when Parcells was here, and then we got rid of him, and he went to the Jets. When we played the Jets here, our guys were on the Jets sideline,
right.
And they were still Parcells sympathizers. And I remember the Jets won that game, and one I saw our guys like laughing and yucking it up with the Jets, and I was pissed.
And we're talking about a handful of people.
Yeah.
So a team could bring six ball boys or six extra, five extra, whatever it is.
Right.
It just doesn't. Eric's right. Everything has these details, and everything is so structured,
right.
And then, yeah, you can just have our ball boys. They'll be standing right next to you when you call
the
play.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense
to me. That stinks. Right. That makes no sense.
Especially if you're guarding them with your life all the way up until kickoff, and then when you actually have to use them, you let them go.
Listen,
I mean, just have somebody stay with them.
Wouldn't you give the guys you know are going to be on that sideline a series of signals that they could give when they hear things
I would.
That you decipher on your sideline?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Wouldn't you do that?
It's the one thing I agree with whoever said it. You're trying to gain an advantage. You're trying to win. It's my theories on war. If I kill some children, I'm sorry. We're at war.
Collateral damage.
I'm all in. If I'm trying to win, I'm trying to win.
Right. You know, there are no rules of engagement. Well, there are, but, you know.
No, but don't you, like, and Bill has to deal with it. I'm not just saying it's here. When he goes
to
New York, there's a ball boy
from the other team
who's running up and down your sideline.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me.
Like, we do everything we can to make sure the media doesn't cross a yellow line, but an employee from the other team is allowed in the bench area. Like, how does that make sense?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
And look, I'm not saying the Patriots do that, but if I'm the Patriots, I'm assuming somebody else is.
Correct.
You know?
I would.
You have to assume everybody
is. I'd be slipping that kid $500 a week to give me any information he gets.
Yeah. So,
just saying.
Paul, you don't like this.
Paul's
at all.
Better than that.
Well, I just don't. This whole thing, you're never going to find out what happened. To me, this is just
there's
like Spygate.
TV.
It's just like Spygate. You're never going to know what happened. So we can sit here and say it's ridiculous. I don't know if it's ridiculous. It might be the smartest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I heard Goodell popped all the balls.
What is right and what is wrong. I just don't know. So I don't really feel like I can intelligently talk about it. I don't know even what, you know, we were talking about this a little bit off air right before the show. I don't know what the advantage gained is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's a big thing for a quarterback is to have the ball inflated to the level of his.
It might be when you're carrying it,
of his
too,
liking.
If it's a little
I don't know.
Softer.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you that. I mean,
it won't squirt out as much.
Yeah, if you grab a ball and you squeeze it, you can get more.
Right.
Yeah, no question.
But, you know, you guys just brought up a bunch of whole different scenarios. I think it's silly how many people think it's silly. You know, to use an Andyism. If there's something to be gained by it, Why wouldn't teams try to do it based on the way that all the protocol is set up? It's there for you to do.
Right.
And all you got to do is catch one guy asleep at the switch.
And let's be honest. Do you really – I mean, I know you care about the rules of the NFL and the rule book and all .. But what you also really care about, don't you, is when you go to the combine and you're with your 32 contemporaries, you know how business is being done in the National Football League. You know what's acceptable, what's unacceptable, what is a written rule, what's an unwritten rule.
It's a small world.
And if you know that...
Small universe.
Yeah, that everybody is, you know, you take a little out of a ball when it rains. And you know for a fact that Steve McNair used to do it and everybody used to do it. You do business as being done. And
okay,
you just do what's going in line.
If you knew that, would you complain about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I got to tell you, this story started to be different for me in the complaint. There wasn't the original complaint that DeQuell Jackson picked off the pad. That story came later. The original was that they're just investigating for underinflated balls. So I thought at that point an official was like, wow, this ball doesn't feel right. And, you know that one doesn't feel right. We need to investigate this after the game. When the Colts are complaining about it, it becomes a little bit of a different feel to me other than just the referee noticing it.
I don't have any idea.
Gabe in Newtown, Pennsylvania writes in, my take on it is I guess the Colts are mad that the Patriots played with soft balls. But then the Colts played with the Patriots' balls too. No, they played with their own balls, which, as the score indicated, were not hard enough because they got their balls smacked around and picked, and 47 cameras of the stadium were watching everyone's balls. So if the reporter has proof, I would like to see it because the refs have full control of everyone's balls and checks everyone's balls before anyone can play with them and marks everyone's balls. So Brady couldn't touch his balls until the refs let him in luck play with his balls and said they didn't feel any different than our balls. Everyone's balls were out for all to see and all were marked, and the refs could feel everyone's balls before every play. Sounds like the reporter has an itch to scratch here.
Oh, I don't blame the reporter. He was told something by somebody and he was right. They're investigating it.
This has absolutely nothing to do with the reporter. And by the way, the report...
Well, he mentioned the Rosenberg report earlier in the email. I didn't want
to... Well, if it's... Rosenberg is different.
Rosenberg's not a reporter.
I'm talking about the deflated ball story was an Indianapolis Star report from Bob Kravitz. That report unequivocally has been proven accurate.
Oh, yeah.
The league is investigating, on record, the league is investigating whether or not they were using underinflated footballs during the game.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what the report said. Yeah. So your beef with the reporter is off. He was right.
Well, he's talking about Rosenberg, though.
Oh, if he's the Rosenberg thing is a whole, that's a whole different thing.
Andy in Sioux City, great job all year. Especially can't live without Fred's words of wisdom and support during the games. I've become a regular listener to the Xbox One postgame show also, which has become another favorite of mine.
Thank you.
PFW in Progress is a beast all of its own. No other team has anything close to it. Awesome job. On to the deflated balls. I'm not concerned because the worst they can do is take draft picks from us, and we suck in the draft anyway. So whatever.
Very, very good.
Wouldn't the ball boys have to be doing it, though? I am trying to figure out how anyone would have access to them in order to modify them. Maybe Wendell has a needle taped to the underside of one hand. Love the controversy. Bring it on.
I think that's how you would do it. I mean, I don't really think it'd be that hard. No pun intended. I mean, I think if you had one of those little silver needles in between your fingers and you're a ball boy, you just jam it in there. And as I said, you know that too. Gets you where Brady wants it. And the other thing that I thought of is we're mocking this and I on some level.
Talking about jamming it in there and
really
balls
hard.
Being hard. And...
But remember how I was talking about he had the box of all the gloves in his locker and it's marked like winter, rain, wind, cold. Imagine if he hasn't, you know, well, when it snows, I want 12.7, but if it's more rain than snow, I want 12.4.
But you're allowed to do that, you know.
In the range.
Yeah, in that range.
But
yeah.
What if he has ones that are outside
the
range?
Well, that's different. The elated troll from Louisville, Kentucky. Last Tuesday, I entered your show a tad concerned about the Colts. After listening to Paul, those concerns were over. Paul, you said there was no reason to worry, gave the Colts 0% chance. I carried around that confidence all week, and you were dead on.
That's usually what Fred is for, but I had to step up last week.
On a side note, I emailed you guys earlier this season about walking into a store in southern Indiana wearing a Patriots gear and hearing it from one of the workers. Well, I decided to stop in there to see what
I remember that.
This maggot-infested big mouth had to say.
Maggot-infested.
He saw me walking towards him at a distance and obviously recognized me. Then this mutant went scurrying away to the back of the store through a door that said employees only. I heard it from other Colts fans all week long, not really sure why they talk so much junk because of the beatdowns they take year after year from us. Just a lesson for us all. You talk trash before the game, and it's going to get you in the end. Enjoy the trip to Arizona and go Pats. So there you go. I got attacked on Twitter yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, because
blew up.
You know, the NFL around the NFL. It's one of the NFL Twitter accounts said. You know, MRI reveals that Richard Sherman had an
elbow
sprain.
Yeah.
I said, so all that carrying on for a sprain, and you know, Seahawks fans just jumped all over me. Have you ever hurt a ligament in a violent sport covering Jordy Nelson? I said, yeah, well, you got me on Jordy Nelson, so, you know.
But I've been limping on a bad knee for months.
You know, and
but I beat Andy Hart in free sports.
One guy just went off and, you know, just all used all profanity. I went to his account. He has like two followers, and every other word in his thing is the C word. You know, just idiots. But, yeah, they attacked me.
I got no
the
problem.
The C word, as in Seahawks?
No, see you next Tuesday.
I know, Fred.
He was
I was
joking.
Making a joke.
He knew it. Oh. Everybody knew it.
Yeah.
We
always know what you're talking about.
I have no problem with that, them attacking you.
No, that's fine.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
Now, the C word is probably not necessarily normal.
I don't. You should have blocked them, Fred.
I don't block
But fighting with fans, that's fine. That's what Twitter's for on some level now. That's your way.
But drama.
And I do think it was a little overdramatic. The whole can't even take my arm away from my chest thing.
Well, if it's that bad, why are you out there? Shouldn't you're putting yourself before the team, right?
Well, I don't even care about that, but it's a sprain. So
right.
Tell me, give me a better word, or make me feel like you were more hurt. Because
right.
I don't know. I kind of agreed with you.
Is a sprain like a hyperextension?
Yeah, it could be.
Sprain is everything.
Because that's, I mean, I think that people use the word sprain and people think it's not serious. I think that was a serious.
Well,
injury.
Everything's a sprain. You sprain an ankle, it's also torn ligaments.
Yes.
If you want to term it torn ligaments,
I agree, and I think people use the word sprain and they don't realize it's serious.
Vagina.
Okay.
TG and NJ, is there any way we can be spared from Andy's juvenile humor
no
regarding
place.
The Flategate? I'm sure he has been nonstop with the balls
no,
jokes.
No, all the listeners and Eric were making all the balls jokes. I've been very serious.
Gotta admit, it's been funny listening to all these analysts
serious.
On national TV and radio saying things like they can get a better grip on their balls when they're wet. It really makes the league look like a joke, especially after this past year. I find it ridiculous when I hear about protecting the integrity of the shield. It's farcical. Greed has wiped out any integrity in the NFL some time ago.
Wait, which side is this guy on?
I don't know.
We'll find out. So what do you guys think is the attitude the rest of the NFL fans base has in regards to the team in the Super Bowl? Outside of New England, everyone hates the Patriots, now the Deflatriots, and a fair percentage probably dislike the Seahawks, from their supposed PED usage to Marshawn Lynch to Richard Sherman. Could this be the most disliked Super Bowl matchup? Could it affect the ratings? It looks like several NFL fan bases could have no rooting interest in this game outside of the AFC East and NFC West. You have no dog in this fight.
Do people really hate the Seahawks?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
As much as the Patriots and the Cowboys?
Oh, no. Probably not as much as the Patriots. But I think that exactly the reason he said, a lot of people think that Seattle is a dirty, dirty team. And my hand is raised very high when I say that.
Well, he's making the case I made with the Cowboys and the Patriots, that other than their fan bases, everyone hates them.
Yes.
So you're watching to root against
them. I think there's a lot of truth to what that guy is talking about. And I think if the Colts had won the game on Sunday night, the whole country would be rooting for the Colts in that game.
Yes.
If the Broncos had won the game, I mean, it doesn't not just for an upset. If the Broncos had won, everybody be rooting for the Broncos. I don't think people like the Seahawks outside of Seattle.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think it's as universal hatred in terms of what the Patriots go through, but I don't think Seattle's a likable team outside of Seattle.
Well, but, I mean, Russell Wilson's a likable guy, no?
And that's about it.
Yeah, Marshawn
that's
Lynch
about
is
it.
A DB.
Oh, absolutely. I know that.
The whole
but
team.
I mean, but it's counterbalanced with how Wilson is, I think.
Yeah, but it doesn't overshadow everything.
Yeah,
Pete's not all that likable at times.
I think Pete's a buffoon.
Story.
I think his whole act is rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I think that all the cheating that they've done rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Purists. People that, you know, we all look at it and say, we think they're all on steroids. But there are purists out there like that emailer who I think feel like they're just a dirty team. And that's cheating. And that's what they're doing.
And I never did get does he want the Patriots punished harshly?
I don't know.
It sounded like, you know, in this year of protecting the shield and all that, well, I don't understand your tone as a Patriots fan.
And that's what's going to come out of this, right?
Do you want him to come
nothing.
Down hard? Well, I think nothing, but maybe they'll be removed from the Super Bowl.
But if you come out and say that there were some illegal balls used and we're going to end up fining the Patriots, then that's the whole storyline for the Super Bowl. They're not going to let that happen. There's no way that's going to happen.
They're just going to drag their feet.
Oh, I think they'll come out and say there was nothing
after the Super Bowl.
Nothing happened. They'll say there was nothing here. No, they want to end it because they don't want it to drag on through the
Super
Bowl.
And then Walt Anderson will never ref a game again because he never checked him. That's what I think.
See, something like that could happen.
Because you know how we watch them check the players when they come out of the locker room and they're like, yep, looks good. Like, they don't actually check. I could have a knife under my pads. You don't know that. Yeah. They don't check enough.
That may have happened.
So I can see them, you know, the box of balls shows up and he grabs like one.
Last Boy Scout.
He squeezes one ball and goes, yeah, they're good. And like didn't actually do his easy.
What?
What?
He asked Last Boy Scout. I was telling him what I was talking about.
Easy. We don't need to talk about that. But I think this is the officials. You are right, Fred. They don't check the balls.
There's no delay of game. We didn't let the team go because we were stretching out balls.
That's good.
Mike and Charlotte, okay, Colts, notify the refs the balls are deflated before halftime. Like refs check the balls at halftime. The Patriots scored 28 unanswered points in the second half. Go ahead and take away the first half points. Patriots win 28-0. Colts and their fans, go home, clean out your lockers.
Isn't that just a wonderful way to go through life? To think that, like, there's any relevance to that at all?
Right.
Like, yeah, even if they cheated, they would have won 28-0. Like, we all know that they were a better team than the Colts. They didn't need to do anything. What we don't know is if they did something.
Rachel in Virginia, so, yeah, I'm ready for ruling or whatever here. All I keep seeing is one ball was taken out of circulation. Wouldn't it solve problems by just having the NFL provide all the balls? And then, fine, let the quarterbacks scuff up their own team balls. But everyone bringing their own ball sounds like it's a wide-open door for cheating. I guess it's great that most people find this pretty stupid. Good Morning America, or one of those annoying morning shows, was completely laughing at this new accusation.
See, it's not just me.
One thing I didn't like was they lumped it in with the Ravens' complaint about the Patriots' illegal formations, but they didn't really let you know that the accusations were wrong and the formations were perfectly legal. It's official. They hate us. Also, how the Colts noticed this and the refs didn't, considering they are handed the ball after every play and handed to them each team before every play.
That's Andy's point.
Also, did you see Seattle crying after their lucky win about how no one picked them to win? Since when did we hand over our nobody believed us card?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Nobody picked the Seahawks
to win?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. That's
everybody was picking the Seahawks
to win. That's
not
what they were saying. They were saying based on the situation at the end of the game,
we came
out of nowhere.
Of course,
well,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, when you're down 16-0.
You know, and listen,
because math actually picked against him at that point.
I'm not a big fan of the the crying and all that stuff that went on and that kind of, you know.
Like Mike Saul crying?
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on that.
How about Arthur Jones crying pregame?
I didn't like that either. I mean, just go out and play. You're playing football.
Maybe he knew it was coming.
Go out and play football. That's all. But I think that's what, I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Like,
but that's the way
like,
I
know
took
what? I'm not
the Seattle bother. Stuff is that people had given up for dead, and evidently some of the fans did. Some of the people left the game. So I think that's what maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Seattle is doing the Rodney Harrison and coming up with people that never, the fictitious people that didn't think they could win. Maybe they are really doing that.
The receivers are doing that. The disrespect. The receivers are playing
but that's,
up.
That's accurate.
Well, because they suck. It's not being played up one way or the other. The receivers aren't good. You might make a catch and you might win a game, but you're not good.
Three Games to Glory in Seattle might feature Andy and Paul saying that Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse suck. Because I'll say it again. They suck.
There was a great photograph, though, of Seattle fans who had left and then were outside of the stadium and couldn't get back in. And
no reentry.
Yeah. And every time I hear someone describe that story, it's more people that were trying to get in. Now there was like no one there at the end of the game. The stadium was like a quarter full, evidently, now. You guys were watching. Did you notice that there was that empty?
No. But there were some people who left.
Every time they talk about it, maybe a quarter of the crowd left.
Every time they talk about it, it gets bigger and bigger.
Right. Let's go to the
entire stadium
now.
Was outside.
Yeah. Freddie, did you engage Lawrence Tynes on Twitter by any chance?
No, I didn't.
Oh, what happened? So you'll bully Richard Sherman for an injury, but you won't fight a kicker?
Yeah. Did you engage him?
No, that's not my job as the leader of Patriot Nation.
Oh, yeah, you don't bully anyone.
No, but you're the leader of Patriot Nation.
Who are you bullying now?
No, I just thought it was interesting that he chose not to engage Lawrence Tynes.
I actually never saw the original tweet.
You have looked like you're ready to
put it up on the TV there. It was about properly inflating to 13 is good. It sticks to the helmets or something like that.
Yeah, my son asked me if Richard Sherman had a heart attack. He was like, did he hurt his heart or something in the game? How come? And I was like, no, he just wouldn't move his arm. That's how bad he made it out to be.
Oh, God.
What a wuss.
Almost needed a wheelchair.
I'm very close, Fred, on Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch even more so, rooting for injuries.
Yeah.
I detest them.
Well, to me, the whole...
He'll be thankful.
The antics that Sherman did...
That's not fair to Sherman.
Reminded me of
Lynch is worse.
Because remember, he hurt this in the wake of them, they were going to lose this game. And, you know, he was running around with his elbow, and then they started to come back. But I just saw, you know, him playing up. It's a typical diva that, you know, I'm hurt, we lost, you know, I have an excuse. LaDainian Tomlinson separating himself from the team. Terrell Owens, you know, when things are going bad, I have to go leave and go to the locker room. That's the mentality of these divas.
But can I ask you something? And I'm being as serious
ding,
as I
ding,
can be.
I think.
Yeah, here we go.
You don't think there's a difference between a guy who clear diva, if you want to describe them all as divas, I'm with Fred. I think Richard Sherman is absolutely a diva. But one of the divas stayed on the field and stuck it out. He did exactly the opposite of what the other two guys were describing.
But it's
he
like,
fought till the end with his team.
But look at me. Oh, no, my arm.
That makes him a diva.
Right.
But what you're describing is the exact opposite. One guy refused to be a diva and leave his team out to dry.
No.
The other two, especially LaDainian Tomlinson, who checked out one play into the game, refused to fight with their
teams. It's a different manifestation of being a diva. You know, like you said, one separate them. The other one, oh, I couldn't play 100% because of my arm, and, you know.
And amazingly,
and
it didn't have any impact in the game because they didn't throw the ball to
him. I don't know why
they
didn't.
That's how much respect they have.
I don't know why they didn't. You know?
I want to ask another question and get you guys' opinion on this, because you brought up LaDainian Tomlinson. It reminds me of the Chargers. I've seen a lot of stuff about Green Bay and the choke. No question, choke, right? Where do you put Burnett falling down with the interception with 5 minutes left on the list of indiscretions that Green Bay had? I don't know. I'm sure you heard some of the stuff on the way home, Andy. Absolutely getting destroyed.
Yeah,
the guy's trying to put him in the same category as the Bostic guy who couldn't handle the onside kick, who, by the way, was not supposed to try to handle the onside
kick.
He's
supposed to make a block.
So not only made a physical error, but made a mental error as well.
Which is worse.
Right.
Because if you screw up mentally, there is absolutely no way you cannot catch the ball. You have to. You are taking away the ability of the guy whose job is to catch the ball from catching it. You have to be 1,000,000,000% on that.
I mean, the Chargers were leading by 8 points with roughly the same amount of time when Marlon McCree intercepted that Brady pass in the 2006 divisional playoffs. And he has been getting crucified ever since for trying to return it. Instead of falling down, the game would have been over. He had a bigger lead with the same amount of time, and he fell down to make sure he didn't fumble. And he's getting killed because his team collapsed.
It wasn't really even on my radar until I heard people put it on
my
radar.
Yeah, it wasn't on mine.
I wasn't even thinking about it. He did exactly the right thing.
Right.
The only way I would have said he should have tried to return it is if he had picked it off like inside his 10. If you had space and you were inside your 10, try to get it out of harm's way.
Right.
And then run out of bounds. He was near midfield.
Right.
Get down. The only something bad can happen.
Right. Exactly. You're not going to return it.
And he is getting killed for that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
That's not fair.
I didn't get it. I'm telling you. You think Marlon McCree is looking at that and saying, you know, what are we supposed to do? I mean, I was supposed to fall. I mean, I think it was literally the same amount of time. It's like 5 minutes left.
Yeah, I heard
10:31 in the second quarter. Yep. I think
Reggie Wayne had already checked out.
Bill Buckner tweeted Bostic though and said, "I feel for you."
that right there, like,
that's why they hate us.
I know he's trying to be. Oh, is that a joke?
Yeah.
I thought he really did.
No.
I bet Buckner stays off Twitter.
What?
You're making fun of him.
Bostic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm making fun of him.
No,
that's
I'm
why
sorry.
They hate us.
I know.
You can't make fun of a guy that screws up in a game?
No, but there's a difference between making fun of a guy and
they made
making
fun of they're still making fun of Bill Buckner.
Yeah.
You know, that's
No, but they're not the same. Buckner made a physical error. Catch the ground ball. Now you've done something that, you know, do your job.
Right.
He tried to not do his job.
Right.
I mean, we've all screwed up. I think he's worthy of either way.
And actually, if you wanted to compare the two, Buckner's gaffe was along the line of Tre'Mon Williams, who got beat for the game-winning pass because the game was already tied when Buckner made an error, just like the game was already tied when Tre'Mon Williams got beat for the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah.
There's the guy that, you know, is the same. But again, everybody's like, a Bill Buckner-like error. Yeah. Poor Bill Buckner. He didn't cost them the game. The game was already tied.
I know, but it's...
You know? That's the... Somehow they overlook...
Paul takes the fun out of making fun.
Somehow they overlook the...
Takes the fun out of everything.
But why doesn't... I mean, let's make fun of Rich Gedman. I don't want to take the fun out of it. I want to add to the goats. Why do we not make fun of Bob Stanley and Rich Gedman?
Bob Stanley is the guy. Sure.
They don't get the heat. Why? Why is it just Buckner?
It's just the way it went down, man.
Imagery. imagery. We're a simple society where you get the imagery. It's very simple.
Because why, Fred?
I don't know.
They're all stupid.
Oh.
Well, I would say we're all stupid because I would include myself in that.
Yeah, you were young.
I mean in general. I fall victim to sort of the imagery. And the perfect picture is Bill Buckner missing it or Bostic missing. I mean, it's just so obvious. Right there.
Right.
It was it's emblematic of the bigger.
It's sort of like the Colts. When you let a ball
there was
bounce
so much
off
that
the face.
Led up to the Buckner play.
Right.
Sure.
And he didn't handle it well either, Bostic.
No.
Saying, you know, everybody's on me, but if I try to make a play, and if I made that play, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And if you did what you were supposed to do, we wouldn't be having this conversation
either.
Do
your job.
Eddie's in Maryland on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eddie, thanks for holding on.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good to
talk to you guys. Super Bowl again.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
I'll tell you, you know, I've called you guys in the past, and I've said, you know, I prefer to win a Super Bowl and then go, you know, 5-6 years without even going to the playoffs. But I got it, bit. It's pretty cool, man, when your team's in the Super Bowl.
Forget about the wins, but just since Kraft bought the team, and just go with the numbers. 96, 1, 3, 4, 7, 11, 14. That's an amazing run.
Yeah.
That's an amazing run.
It is.
The excitement, I mean, granted, we still have another week until the real, you know, the real fun begins and everything, but it's pretty awesome. But I wanted to get straight to the game, guys. This Super Bowl is so big because, I mean, it's legacies here. You know, it's going to be which style works. You know, I mean, I guess they both do, but I've called you guys in the past and I've told you I've hated the way Bill runs the defense and I've always wanted Carroll's defense. But we're going to see if, you know, hey, is Bill, you know, is his legacy going to be that, you know what, my system is the best. You know, I am the best playing, period. You know, or is it going to be, you know what, Carroll actually knew what football is all about in the 21st century, basically, with the speed defenses, you know, like the attacking style defenses.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I can't wait. I still do think, though, that we have to run. We have to try to run.
I do, too. I agree. Yeah. I agree. You got to run on these
and
guys.
I don't think this Super Bowl is going to be a referendum on either coach and their coaching style because there's no right or wrong way to
there
win
isn't.
The Super Bowl.
See, Paul doesn't like Carroll. I like Pete. I like him personally. And I think
I don't mind Carroll. I think
he knows defense as well as Belichick knows defense. I have no doubt. And
he did a very ballsy thing
in Seattle with Russell Wilson. You know, going with Russell.
I agree with
Wilson,
that too.
You know,
mm-hmm. I agree with that too. I don't dislike Carroll.
I thought you said he was a buffoon.
Well, I think he acts like a buffoon. I think he knows defense.
He respects that buffoon.
No, wait. But you can't say that there's a difference between a guy who knows football and obviously knows how to coach and the way he acts.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean,
the way he acts.
Jerry Glanville.
Yeah, he
was a buffoon who knew football.
I said last week I don't like Carroll's style on the side. He's got that deer in the headlight style that I don't like. You know, he's always like walking to nowhere, and then he turns around and walks back. Where are you going?
Yeah, I'm talking more.
What
about
does that even mean?
What's his personal thing? I don't like it.
He
I'm
walks
talking more
to
about
nowhere?
His comments.
Yeah. Oh, you see him.
Isn't that called pacing?
Yeah.
But
you walk to nowhere and then you turn around and walk to nowhere.
Pacing.
Yeah.
Hey guys, and lastly,
I got to say, Fred was right about
Lady Ball.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Why does it have to be the Patriots? That's my only thing. I just wish these things wouldn't come up around the Patriots. You know.
Well, now they've got a bullseye, and so even if you want to make it up.
You're
people
right.
will believe it because it's the Patriots.
And well, this wasn't made up. This was the officials investigating, so that's not a made-up thing. But we're starting to get the stories now of different things. That I guess Aaron Rodgers blatantly had like a whole production meeting where he talked about it with Phil Simms about how he overinflates the footballs because he likes them that way. And that's not okay.
Yeah.
And I guess Panthers, Vikings played this year, and they got in trouble because both teams – were warming their balls on the sideline in front of those heaters, and that's illegal. You're not allowed to do anything,
right?
To even though they were both doing it, like there wasn't this cheating accusation. It was just that you're not allowed to do that.
That's why I think the NFL, if they're so concerned about it, they need to have somebody
right.
impartial on either sideline overseeing
right.
everything.
And you know, if you're
football.
The league,
I'm the official.
You know, we talk
ball
about
footballs.
If you're another team, you assume that the other team is doing whatever they can. If you're the league. You got to assume that both teams are going to do whatever they can and can get away with. So
right. If both teams have cold balls and the access to heaters, they're going to heat their cold balls.
Thanks, Eddie. Let's go to Trey in Memphis.
They,
hey,
they
Trey.
Don't use different colored ones because, you know, the Colts are royal blue. They
yeah,
could have blue, blue ones.
You don't want to have blue balls that are cold.
What's up,
guys,
Trey?
How's it going?
Good. Great.
Well, man, it's good to see Brady and Belichick and the boys back in the Super Bowl. It was a great game overall, man. I mean, you know, I could care less how flat the Colts came out. I don't give a damn about that as long as our team was charged up and fired up. So, and I wanted to say, man, Josh Klein, he played well. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was a big concern for everybody, and I said he played well. So let's just see what happens. As far as this inflated ball thing, man, I mean, a lot of teams do what they want to do, I mean, with their balls, right? I mean, you have people scrubbing balls. What I've heard, I mean, you have guys that like to play with practice balls. I mean, you know, beat up balls. I mean, so, I mean, at what point, I mean, what, I mean, where, I mean, at what point does, you know, this, I mean, this ball thing, I mean, if you're allowed to beat your balls up or do whatever it is you do, I mean.
Andy is losing it
deal?
Over here, by the way, Trey. Andy is about as red as his shirt.
You're right,
right now.
I can't take this ball discussion. You're allowed to beat your balls. And I know you're being dead serious, but it's a funny topic. But, no, I mean, they have their rules. You know, it seems like what we were talking about earlier, Fred didn't even know you could scuff the balls. You can do that. Now, what that means, where the limit is in that, I'm not sure that is drawn out. This is specific. It has to weigh between X and X and has to be inflated to between X and X. So there's a little bit more
but
of an exact science.
On the, I mean, so as far as the investigation, I mean, man, it rained on these balls the rest of the game. I mean, so what? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I could care less if anybody. If you want to throw a Nerf ball, that's fine. If you want to throw a high inflated ball, I mean, who cares? I mean,
there is a
the league.
Yeah, there
you
is.
You have rules.
Yeah.
There's rules. Now, I agree with you on the part
Thanks,
about
Trey.
I don't understand the investigation part.
That,
to me,
I don't
it should have ended.
Either.
The balls were here. They were inflated or not inflated. You supposedly checked them, measured them pregame, postgame. Like, seems like all the information should have been collected right here in the walls of Gillette Stadium on Sunday night in the wee hours.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
What are we doing now?
Right. What are we waiting
what is,
for?
Yeah. It, that, to me, makes it not pass the smell test.
Are they going
to
have Mueller come in and
right.
interview everybody that was on the sideline?
Are you covering it up? Are you
right.
not covering it up? Are you doing a PR production? No, no, no. Was it right? Was it wrong? Was it broken? What? Just go.
Are we going to have like a you know, a series of commercials with people crying about deflated balls? And
no, they should do the opposite way. They should talk about balls and just start laughing like
right.
they can't be serious talking about balls.
Right.
But I didn't know it was the biggest story. I don't watch news. I don't watch, but they, on EEI, they were playing like all the nightly newses, CNN, like
yeah,
these
yeah.
news anchors,
oh, yeah.
you know, talking about the Patriots balls.
Everybody
and I'm
was doing that. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Low hanging balls. I mean, fruit. Let's go to Melvin.
We haven't even
Tennessee.
Talked about Vince.
No, we haven't. But
Melvin!
Let's go to Melvin first in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up?
Did I not call last week and say that Paul was getting hot this year? He has been accurate with those predictions as of late. And like I said, last year was Fred, and, you know, Paul delivered again. Scary part about that was on postgame show, he didn't sound too confident about Seattle. So now that made me nervous. Are you leaning towards that, Paul? Made me scared already.
Well, we'll no. I'm not. I need to know more information about Seattle before I figure that out, because I do think that those are two very important pieces for them. But no, I don't think there's any reason to be afraid of Seattle, if that's what you're asking me.
Right. Okay. Good.
I think it's. But I'll tell you the other part of it is I feel virtually the same. I think Seattle's better than Green Bay, but I think it's really close. And I think that people were seriously rooting for Green Bay as if they were rooting for the Patriots on Sunday. And I kind of look at it as maybe a point or two difference. Maybe the Patriots would be 2 or 3 point favorites over Green Bay, and it's like maybe
yeah.
pick them now.
Oh, I mean,
like, I don't think there's a big difference.
If Green Bay won, they will be going to Arizona having beaten Seattle. So I was not ready to be like, oh, I'm so
well,
glad it's
yeah,
Green
but I
Bay.
Wasn't even taking that intangible into
yeah.
it, which is a very strong one. I agree with you.
Yeah.
If they had just gone into Seattle and won a game that no one thought they could win, that makes them even more formidable. I watched them play. I watched those two teams
yeah.
match up. And I don't think that either side played its best game, and Green Bay won. I think that, you know, if they play a lot better and the Patriots play the same, then they're in trouble. You know, or if the Patriots play a lot better and Green Bay plays the same, then Green Bay would be in trouble. I think those teams are pretty even. Seattle, New England, Green Bay, I didn't really see a huge difference.
And if you're a Patriots fan, I think you want to have your team be the quote-unquote underdog going into the Super Bowl, because as we've seen in the past, they like to use that as a motivational tool going into games like this, whether it's true or not. Like when Rodney Harrison used to say, everyone's picking against us, even when it wasn't true. But in this case, I think as a fan, you would probably want your team to be the underdog, because you, knowing well, what the way that they use that as motivation.
Yeah, but they only got to do that once. They were underdogs right. against the Rams. They were favorites against the Panthers. They were favorites against the Eagles.
I'm talking about big games in general.
Both games.
I'm talking about
Giants.
Big games in general. They like to use
usually they're favorites, and they always win. So, I mean, I agree with you. In 2001, it worked for them because they were underdogs in a lot of those games. But I don't really think they've been underdogs since.
Yeah, but not they kept using it.
Not consistently. Well, but they can continue to try to use it.
And they'll use it this week.
Yeah, they absolutely will.
Defending
but
champ,
they won't be.
Big bad
I mean,
defending
it's
champ.
It's the same kind of thing.
And I've heard some, you know, psycho Patriots fans think that Bill created this controversy to create an us-against-the-world mentality.
I heard some of that.
What else you got, Melvin?
Yeah, one more last thing I was just going to talk on was the interceptions that Brady's thrown. It seemed like those plays were very similar. The seam down that seam to Gronkowski, and you know the linebacker kind of trailing him. Did you all notice that similar? I didn't even notice the one against the Colts, because I know Amendola was wide open on the underneath against the Baltimore one. But I just thought that you know, heading into this next game, I don't know if they definitely need to adjust that one, because
yeah, that was a very similar play to the interception against the Ravens.
Oh, this goes back years, though.
Talk to y'all later.
Thanks, Melvin.
Remember last year it was down the right numbers, right seam. He kept doing it to Gronk. He's had these holes in his swing, and I think I don't necessarily blame him for it, because I think it's an undying belief that I can put it almost anywhere and Gronk will make sure it doesn't get picked. The problem is, relatively often, he's led to picks. Yeah.
Do you think it and I'll defer to Andy, because I think that he, in terms of the plan, defensive plan and whatnot, he might know a little bit more about the X's and O's. It seems to me like it's one of those, it seems to come off of play action, where his back is to the coverage. Maybe it's a pre-snap mistake.
Yeah, he disrespects the ability of the linebacker to get deep.
Or that he thinks that I'm going to disrespect his ability to ignore my play action fake. Because I think he puts his back to the coverage, and he doesn't see that DeQuell Jackson was in perfect position. Mm. Darryl Smith last week was in perfect position. And I think that he's looking and saying, I'm going to go through what my progression is here, and I'm just going to throw the ball because that guy's not going to be there.
Right.
And I think that had he been maybe, say, in a shotgun running the same play, he looks and says,
could be.
Because those guys were Blake, both, and I got to find somebody else.
They were both clearly.
They both had the ability to undercut the pass, and they both did.
And it looked like he threw the ball to them.
Yeah.
Well, this one was right to him. This one for DeQuell Jackson. But Andy's right about the pass. I was even looking at. They were showing highlights of the 2012 game against the Seahawks. That same kind of numbers inside, and Richard Sherman got inside Deion Branch on a similar kind of route down the numbers. Sherman was inside, and you wonder, what was he thinking when he threw that? He was never open. Like, Gronk was never open on the play.
Yeah, but it bothers me more with Deion Branch, because Deion Branch is not going to win
he's
a fight for a
he's
ball.
He's not going to make sure the pass doesn't
Gronk
get intercepted.
Gronk has long arms and can win fights for balls and do different things.
Yeah.
So it's hard, because there has been a trend here of Gronk targets leading to interceptions, but I also want him to keep throwing to Gronk.
Yeah, and I was just wondering if you maybe thought it was something pre-snap.
More times
Brady
it's not
saw
a, more times it's not
maybe
a pick.
Got a bad look.
Yeah, I mean, he makes a lot of pre-snap reads, and he goes with things, and sometimes a guy tricks you. You know, they win. They get paid too, Paul.
Dan of Virginia, I can't believe Andy hasn't collapsed in a fit of giggles yet with all this ball talk.
He almost just did.
I especially can't believe he was able to get out his statement about squeezing balls to get more juice out of them without laughing or apparently making an improper reference. Andy's right about the ball supervision being yet another lapse by the refs. Speaking of poor performances, did you find it odd that the ref came back and restarted his call about the penalty because of the O lineman didn't report as ineligible? Since when does a ref address the crowd? It was like a parent just turning around and yelling, because I said no! Andy is also right about Sherman playing up the elbow. More drama than Rodney Harrison in the Super Bowl with an arm that was actually broken. Sherman's a loudmouth. Too many bad things can't happen to him. Gold star for Andy today.
Well, on my list of wishing bad things to happen, Lynch is actually higher. on that list. You know what I was just thinking? If when you know how they say, you know, like to catch a criminal, you need to think like a criminal?
Sure.
When Bill retires, they should hire him as, like, the rules consultant. Bill, how would you get by this? Right. How would you get by? Bill, what are some of the open doors that are left right now that we need to close? And he's like, this,
catch
this,
me if you
this,
can.
Like Frank, yeah. Frank Abagnale from.
Can you imagine that? He's making, like, absolutely. $5 million a year showing them how everybody's cheating.
I think that would be fantastic.
Paul, you were good talking story. About, you know, going down with the interception in the Packers game, and that was the right play. Peter in Cambridge says, on the Green Bay interception, Julius Peppers is actually telling the defensive back to go down, but that was absolutely the wrong play. The game obviously was not over. It wasn't a kneel-down situation. If he runs it back, he has wide open field ahead of him with all the speed players behind him. He could easily have gone 20, 30 yards untouched and then safely out of bounds. Paul said there was no reason to return the ball. How about a touchdown? He could have at least gotten the Packers into field goal range.
They didn't need a touchdown.
They were overthinking and playing scared. That's why they lost.
Okay. So you think that Marlon McCree did the right thing in San Diego?
I don't know if he's talking about San Diego. let's go to...
They didn't need a touchdown. They needed the ball.
And Chuck
that's
in
the only way they can ensure
Chuck.
They had it.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
I just had a couple points I want to talk about. First off, I just wanted to say I'm just, like, starting to listen to you guys. I like it a lot. I'm a huge Sixers fan, so the Patriots are, like, my balance of winning and losing. And what I want to talk about was I think this is going to be a much different game than 2012. The Seahawks are not going to be able to throw on us at all. I know they didn't throw much in 2012 either, but especially now, but I'm worried about Marshawn Lynch. I was wondering to get your takes on how, if the Patriots even have a shot at really stopping him, because I haven't seen anything to make me feel good about this since the Broncos game.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't think the Patriots' run defense has had good games this year?
I think they absolutely have. They stuffed the Broncos, and since the Jets have ran over us, the Packers controlled the game.
They only had one team in the second half of the season that averaged better than 3.6 yards per carry. That was the Packers.
But
they lost.
Okay.
Just for your argument.
I mean, constantly, especially against the Packers, they were not able to get the ball back.
Well, Eddie Lacy's a pretty good running back. He just ran all over the Seahawks to some degree. And
Right.
I think, Marshawn Lynch is going to run.
He also ran all over us.
Marshawn Lynch is going to run. You are going to give up yards. You can't let him beat you. You can't let him do it play after.
Right.
He can't have LeGarrette Blunt day where he rushes 30 times for a buck 60.
I think they'll make plays against him, too.
Yeah, I'm,
He's not unstoppable.
I think with Lynch, he had his yards, but for the most part, I thought Green Bay did a decent job on him, and it wasn't like, you know, one guy. One guy would just hold on until he had help, and that's the way you have to attack this guy.
Because he's a violent
runner.
Yeah,
you're not going to take him down. Just hold on.
Yeah,
and, you know.
This is a ball measuring contest when you're tackling him.
Oh, yeah.
If we're going to talk about balls, all that, you can't just say, we're going to scheme this, and this guy's just going to make the nice tackle. This is, everybody get around the ball and make sure this guy ends up on the ground somehow.
Right.
Right? It's violence.
Got to be gang tackles for sure.
That's right. Meet violence with violence.
Right. I do think that the Patriots' ability to play man coverage is going to help them sell out for the run. That could lead to success against Lynch.
Yeah, that could also lead to some Russell Wilson runs that would worry me. When you run man coverage, they run you off, and all of a sudden he picks and chooses when to go. And Russell Wilson,
right.
I know this is not like breaking things down. He's a wild card in this game. If he plays like he did against Green Bay, Patriots will win. There's no doubt in my mind. He wasn't very good.
He was not.
If he plays like he can, I think he could make this defensive front look silly.
Yep. I think it's going to be
all right,
game.
Thanks, Chuck. Keep listening, and thanks for listening in the first place. Kevin, let's take a break. Food's here. Who bought food today? Do we know? Kevin? Okay, we get it. We'll thank whoever bought it after the break. But we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Here's another great moment in PFW in Progress history.
I got a dog disappointment. I have a new primary because my old one changed. And I had sort of an arrangement with my old doctor, you know.
Don't ask, don't tell.
You know, yeah, you know, like my cholesterol probably could use a little help. You know, and it's like, Paul, you really need to, you know, you need to lose a few pounds. And we had this sort of arrangement. We're okay with that. She knew that I wasn't really going to try to lose a whole lot of weight. But, you know, as long as I, you know, sort of pretended to make an effort.
Yeah.
Now I got to see a different doctor today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm afraid I'm going to get read the riot act.
She's going to say, your BMI is 72, sir.
Really? Based on our calculations here, you should be dead.
Right.
That's what I'm a little worried
your
about.
Your blood diet Pepsi levels are all off.
Yes.
Right.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I hope you make it.
All right. Goodbye, Paul. Let's finish up. Yeah. This is it. This could be it.
It was a privilege knowing you, Paul.
Oh my God!
Wouldn't that? But it's funny, sort of. But like,
it's not real.
The whole thing in medicine is they want to catch things early.
Right?
he's got kids now.
He could find out that had they actually looked, he was dying 10 years ago. Now he's got 3 months.
No, like, yeah, I agree.
They kind of know I'm not going to try to do anything.
And isn't his wife a nurse?
Yes.
Yeah, she should be pushing him. I would be like,
I don't think she wants to know either. No, I would add stress to her.
I would be strapping him down and wheeling him in to try to.
She's given up. It used to be every February. She would put him on some sort of diet, but she gave up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just do like a very unofficial survey, like you go to a nursing home.
Yeah.
There are no fat men in nursing homes.
No, I agree with you.
It's just not. You don't see fat old men.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Finish this the right way.
Oh.
21 gun salute for Paul.
All right. Back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398. Is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the way to email us. Paul had to step out for a moment to do some TV work with All Access. Right? Is that right? All Access?
I think so.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Some people say it differently.
Something involved with a TV camera.
It's a show that we used to be involved in ourselves, but not anymore. They get to big games and we're out.
Well, you know, it was funny because I said to NoSox, I was kidding, of course, but I said, you know, I assume since the games have, you know, now become more, you know, heating up that Andy and I are out. He goes, oh, you want to come to Chestnut Hill to film it? Because they were doing it live from, but half that show was pre-taped anyway. Why couldn't they pre-tape us? We're just getting screwed, Andy.
Yep. You know?
We're just getting screwed. Let's go to the phones. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Phillip. How y'all doing?
Good.
Me, I'm tired of Spygate. I'm tired of into Deflategate. Any kind of gate that exists around my team. I just hate it with a passion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, darn, you know, if y'all can't, they can't come to nothing no better. They're trying to Patriots play or go to the Super Bowl. They just need to quit. That's what I think. Yeah. And like everybody else said, the referees can handle the balls anyway. So they ought to be able to tell which one's inflated, which one's deflated.
Yeah.
Fred, I'm sorry, Fred.
It's crazy. All right, thanks, Eldridge. Let's go to Darby in Kansas. Hey, Darby.
Pretty sure Eldridge wasn't.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Good. Hey, I want to go ahead and speak on that deflate gate, whatever that is.
Sure.
Haters, man. I'm not even worried about them. If they had so much inkling what was going on, Indianapolis Colts got their butt whipped. That's it.
Yep, they sure did. And
agreed.
Number two, I've noticed the starting lineup, the two linebackers, deployment there on the start on the base defense. I'll let you go. Can you guys explain is that some kind of evolution of the defense? Or maybe it's something I haven't seen, but what is the what is Belichick's idea with the Colts there, and does he plan to deploy that maybe with against Seattle? See you guys later.
All right, thanks. They've used two linebackers a lot this
most
season.
Of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their sub defense.
It's nickel.
It's their nickel. Yeah. It's
you have
how
to have an extra defensive
it.
Back, so you have to
now,
take somebody out.
The fact that your two linebackers, I mean, your four of your defensive linemen, two of them are sort of linebackers.
Right.
Rob Ninkovich is a former linebacker.
Yeah, right.
And opening the year, Chandler Jones was dabbling as a linebacker.
Yeah.
So that, I think, plays into it. I'm not sure with different personnel they would handle it the exact same way. But with this personnel, it has become their main defense half the time. Now, it may not be against Seattle trying to stop the run. They're not a spread team. The Colts are a three-receiver, multiple tight end type team where you're going to be a nickel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle is more of a power running team. You're going to treat that differently.
You might need to see more of Alan Branch, more Silver Sealinga, more bigger bodies up front, and you might not be able to get away with doing what Andy just said because of the way their offense is.
Yep. Let's go to Well, first of all, I want to thank Andrew in Denver for buying lunch.
Yeah, thank
today.
You.
Yes, thank you very much. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Thank
we
you,
need
Andrew.
This. We got 2 weeks to fuel ourselves. We need to stay healthy, strong.
We do. That's got a lot to go. Lot to do.
It's gonna be stressful. You got to take your what do you take?
And
Fred?
There's no media lunch today, so we really appreciate
it.
We really appreciate the food.
A little interesting schedule change this week. Took a couple days here off, and then it sounds like they might work into the weekend and kind of then travel and then start work up again. And you get into those things where Bill talks about, you know, you want to have the bulk of the game plan kind of in before you travel. And
yeah,
because
there's a lot of interruptions at the Super Bowl.
And you never know specifically exactly how good the practice facility is. Remember they switched 1 year, they didn't like one of them. And you could have some of that kind of stuff. So the more you can get done this week, it'll be interesting to see how they get ready.
Malachi's in Brockton. Hey, Malachi.
How y'all doing? It's been a while since I called in. You know, it was a great game, you know, for us. I didn't expect it to be, you know, that much of a blowout. You know, I would have thought that the Colts would have actually showed up and played. You know, and once again, you know, Belichick came out, you know, made the halftime adjustments that he needed, and we just took off in the second half. I mean, I don't know what the Colts were thinking during halftime. I don't know the speech that, you know, their coach gave them or whatever, but they didn't make the halftime adjustments. We were in man coverage the whole game, and they could not make the halftime adjustments to beat the man coverage. So I don't know, you know. And going on to Seattle, I think that, you know, we're going to have a lot of trouble going up against their defense particularly. We're going to have a lot of trouble, I think. I think we're going to need a lot more receivers and three activated on that day, because if Edelman goes out, then, you know, I believe we only had three receivers activated last game, right?
Well, you had Edelman, Amendola, LaFell, Slater, technically.
Right. Yeah, he had three.
So,
because you only had two when Edelman went to the locker room.
Timms and Boyce were inactive.
I don't know if I want them active.
Yeah, and, you know, and Edelman, yeah, went to the locker room. You know, he's been getting banged up all year. So, but I think it's going to be a great game. We're on to Seattle, like Belichick said. I'm excited about it, guys.
All right, too. Thanks, yeah. Malachi.
It's going to be a great game. This has a chance to be a Patriots Super Bowl, which means when they win it, it comes down to 3 points, and it's entertaining. And I think this could be an epic-type game.
Three points or less.
Sort of like the Ravens game a couple of weeks ago, where it's a battle.
It is. Back and forth.
Now, do you think we dabbled in this on the post-game show. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a battle. But if you then ranked the likelihood of blowouts, I put the Patriots blowing out Seattle much higher on the list than I put Seattle blowing out the Patriots. I don't see the Seattle
Seahawks doing.
Because
I don't think Seattle has the offense to do it.
Well, I mean, their offense isn't all that different than last year, and they did it to the Broncos. I just don't see that happening. I just don't see the Seattle Seahawks blowing out the Patriots on any level. I just can't fathom it.
I don't either.
Getting back to two things. The second half, at one point, the Patriots had scored seven straight touchdowns on second half possessions against the Colts from the first game into this game. They scored three straight and then four straight. So, yeah, coming out of the locker room, Chuck Pagano getting his ass whooped by Bill Belichick in the second half.
Who's that swimmer Phelps? What's his name?
Michael.
Michael Phelps? Well, the only person who swims more than him is Jeff in Vegas, who is swimming.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are ya?
What's up?
Yeah, I had to call in gloat a little bit in our backing up the truck, betting the college fund and the mortgage payments on Patriots Sunday evening.
Congrats. Good for you.
Yeah, and we're going to take it and parlay it into a Glendale, Arizona, unlimited lunches. We're going to parlay that into a Glendale, Arizona, bonanza.
You going?
Are you coming down with the party bus?
I am going, baby. Do you guys have, like, your Radio Row itinerary? You guys are probably going to be front and center right next to the Lombardi Trophy by the NFL Network.
Well, we actually broadcast from the team hotel.
The only people broadcasting from the team hotel. The only radio show live from the team hotel. That's us.
Right.
Nice. And it's actually a misnomer. A lot of people think, well, Glendale's actually Scottsdale is the ritzy area. Glendale is kind of a dingy place, believe it or not. Like the downtown Glendale.
Scottsdale's nice. Scottsdale's very nice.
We went through the whole ring of cities and towns in the Phoenix area the last time we were out.
They're big on breast enhancement in Scottsdale, too.
Oh, that's music to my ears. As are they in Vegas, so I might have to parlay some of the eye candy girls as well. Maybe do like a party bus, like in Dumb and Dumber Part One at the end there.
No, but seriously, Jeff, are you going to be? What are you doing?
I'm just going to probably head down maybe Wednesday. So if you guys are doing, maybe I can hop into the. But the pregame social is probably you're probably going to have to like. Do that somewhere else?
Well, there's not going to be a pregame
social. No pregame social, no Xbox One postgame show. We are done. Postgame, I will be celebrating, fingers crossed, with Katy Perry at the postgame party.
Yeah, my whole goal is to somehow get a picture. Maybe this is the first Super Bowl that we've been at where there really has been social media and you know, the Twitter sphere and all that. So maybe my goal is to get a picture with Gronk, like postgame. Should they pull it off?
I would say that's 50-50. Knowing the way you work and kind of your way into things and knowing the way he's available, you got a 50-50 shot, I'm going to say.
Yeah, so I will be there. Maybe you guys could slip me in that Thursday show. Maybe we could pop in, do like a live pick or something.
Yeah,
like
maybe
that.
Doubtful.
What's the early line, Jeff?
Pretty tough to get into a team hotel.
It's a pick-em, and though starting to some New England momentum is starting to pick up for whatever reason. So I think there's a leaning toward New England, maybe a half point in some places. So
wait, did you say it was a pick-em game now?
Yeah. It started at like two,
it started
right?
Two, and then went up to three by the end of the game.
Well, people saw how Seahawks performed, and it came back to pick-em.
Yeah, it's how they performed. I think some of the injuries, no matter what Sherman and Chancellor say, that's a factor. Last thing, how would you guys have felt about Green Bay? Would you much have preferred, and also
not
the
really.
Pete Carroll factor?
Yeah, we were talking about Green Bay. I think if Green Bay had won that game, they would be formidable. They'd
right.
have come off having
either one is going to be
Seattle
tough.
And Seattle. So you know, I'd be worried about them too.
Yeah, and I like the Pete Carroll Belichick. You know, if Bill can't beat Pete, I mean, to have lost three in a row, I think that's unlikely. Let's go party it up with Gronk and Tom, and I'll see you guys in 10 days or so.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
In the desert.
Jeff in Vegas.
Are we going to come up with something creative?
No.
Desert redemption in the desert.
Big Al's in Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
I hate you.
Fellas, here we go again. Back to the big one. I'm not going to make any predictions, but in tribute to Andy Hart, let's just say the halftime show was looking like a 38-38 tie.
You know, ah.
You know, this is, I think this deflate thing, it gives us all as fans a chance to confess to our, you know, ethical shortcomings. And I know that there's been many, I'm not proud of this, but there's been many, many times that I have used the accounts and descriptions of a Major League Baseball game without the express written permission of the commissioner of baseball.
Listen, and, we know you've done a lot worse things than that. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, that's one of the big ones, though, Andy. So there's others. You're right. I'm not going to discuss them in public.
I wouldn't.
Anyway, a semi-serious question is, what do you think of the possibilities of the Seahawks just taking Cam Chancellor and saying, you know, there's Gronk. You cover Gronk, you know. And if that happens, how do you think that matchup would go?
I'll take Gronk.
Good luck.
Thanks, Al.
And I think there's always a – Pete Carroll, I do think, knows defense and has as much confidence in his players as anybody.
He does.
And I wouldn't rule him out saying, you can take him. That's what we're going to do. You're taking him.
They don't do much, it seems to me, reacting to what the offense does.
Nope.
It seems like they just like to say, here's our defense – come at us.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They don't get
big balls.
Well, because a lot of teams like...
And they're that good.
When New England does their four offensive linemen and an eligible guy here, when they shift, when they motion, defenses are going crazy reacting to it. I don't see that a lot from
do
Seattle.
What they do.
Well, that's part
they
of that.
For the most part.
They're left, right.
For the most part.
You know, they're not a man team that moves around and does any of that stuff. So, and it works for them. You know, I thought that was really interesting. Bill said that yesterday on his conference call. You know, Pete's got his own style, and they have their own style, but they make it work for them. They have a lot of faith in their style. And it's what we've talked about, the comparison. We started the year with you saying, that defense is crazy, and they swarm. You know, it's different. And there's different ways to skin a cat.
But you've got to have the right personnel. And
yes.
Pete did a good job building that defense the way he wanted.
From the ground up.
Yeah.
That team was like, the turnover they had was remarkable. And you have to give him credit working with Schneider for what they've accomplished. And you know, they're looking to become the first team to repeat. They have the makings of a nice little run.
All the more
here.
Reason we have to win this game.
But
well,
any defense that wants to put a player one-on-one with Gronk, I will take my chances any day with that.
Although, I have my doubts about him. I think he's he's a little nicked up.
You said that
even
during the game.
I think he looks a little slow, a little laboring. I don't know, you know, a back, a leg. I think back. It
back
feels like
leg.
Maybe he like took a shot or something. I don't know. But I feel like he's laboring a little bit, and I don't think it's a coincidence that his production's been down a little bit.
He's got 2 weeks.
Two weeks, baby.
2 weeks.
And this is the game. I mean, for him.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, but for Gronk, like.
That's what I mean.
This is the Super Bowl, and
gets
I'm not limping this
legs.
Time.
Right.
Right.
It's not going to be like last time.
Katy Perry's going to be. Like, if he wins this game, if he's the star, there's a chance he's banging Katy Perry after the game.
Good chance.
And if I'm him, I think that way. And I'm going to be the star, and I am going to have Katy Perry and the world at my feet after this night. Like, I think he could be just godly out there.
Jeremy from Regina, Saskatchewan. I have to say, after watching both
with
games,
an R,
I honestly have no doubt about us winning this game. The Seahawks played their Super Bowl against the Packers last week, and almost all of them were crying like little babies after the win. We celebrated like we have been there before. The Super Bowl is ours. Seahawks don't stand a chance. On to next season. Great job again this year, guys.
Well, they were actually crying because they know the Patriots are such a pushover that they're going to get rings. It's like when we were supposed to play the Bears, but the Colts did. Either team knew that if they won the game, they were winning the Super Bowl. That's how the Seahawks felt when they played the Packers. Did you see Edelman's shirt yesterday?
Yes.
That made the news. And then the news.
I did.
NBC had to issue an apology.
Patriots were on. Yeah.
What was it?
He wore a Tupac Shakur shirt. With
double barrels.
Oh, Tupac was,
NBC News put it, the nightly news put it on.
Yeah.
And then they had to
Brian
tweet
Williams
out
had to apologize.
An apology. Yeah. So, yes, just to sum up the Patriots from yesterday, you had Vince Wilfork saving somebody in a car accident.
Good.
You had Julian Edelman just wearing a T-shirt that NBC chose to put on TV.
Mez.
And you had Ballgate.
Bad. Good, bad, and the ugly.
Better.
Aaron writes in.
Yeah, we didn't really talk much about Vince.
Vince the hero.
Oh, Vince, yeah.
Ho-hum hero.
Aiding a driver who was in an overturned Jeep.
Yep.
And she couldn't get out.
On Route 1? On the way,
it was still there when I left.
Yeah,
they were.
Still,
oh, was
there
it?
Were, there were ambulances and fire trucks and everybody there.
She was also hammered.
Yeah, it was an OUI.
Yeah.
Situation.
But Vince helped her get out, and
his son dialed 911.
Yeah,
Bianca was in the car. It was a family effort.
Good.
And then he just drove off. That's just way. Didn't even tell his teammates.
Wow! 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 Wow!
That's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Just drives off.
Okay, I had no idea.
Aaron writes in, the refs have been handling the balls all season. Funny that this garbage comes out just to ramp up controversy and sully a blowout AFC Championship win before the Super Bowl. If it's anyone's fault, it's the asinine officiators at game time. One ball doesn't call a game. I'm sorry. The Colts got completely destroyed on both sides of the ball. If the Patriots lose a draft pick for this, Goodell should lose his job for his obvious role in the Ray Rice cover-up scandal. Such absolute and utter nonsense.
I think Paul calls that a Felger thing, where he took two things and connected them that shouldn't necessarily be connected.
Let's
Goodell's
see.
Not going anywhere, by the
it
way.
It doesn't Everyone appear that way.
He's not going anywhere.
Does not appear that way.
Lots of... lots
interesting
of...
State of the Union, though. Not tonight, not the
no,
real
I know.
One.
Right.
The State of
the State
NFL
of the League.
Next,
yeah.
Whatever that is, Thursday, Friday.
Dan from Scottsdale, Arizona writes in.
Hey, buddy, we're coming.
Y'all fellas remember when I called in after the Packers beat the Patriots, telling everyone to relax,
yep,
that everything was going to be all right. Well, guys, here we are. But we're not finished.
That's right.
With the Packers, in a way, giving us a blueprint on how to slow down Seattle. And with the NFL hating us for deflating footballs because we keep spiking them every time we scored last week, this is truly going to be a dramatic, epic, classic Super Bowl with us on top. So let's do our job and prepare to go hunting for Seahawks. Says Dan from Scottsdale.
Rob Gronkowski did own social media with that post. Did you see that, Fred? Where he, broke the ball or whatever.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Seahawks, who stepped in it on social media.
What'd they do?
You didn't see that yesterday. They posted a picture of Russell Wilson's post-game crying and put it with an MLK quote and basically made the comparison of their comeback in the game to what Martin Luther King overcame.
Oh, my God.
They quickly removed it and issued
overcome,
an apology.
Kind of
something. And it was just kind of poor taste. Mm. But it was out there long enough that it made all the lists of the worst social media posts of all time. And, you know, I'm not saying we should be pointing necessarily any fingers in that area. Everybody has their issues on social media. But Gronk, not, you know, once again,
that was funny.
The dummy owning social media.
And you know who's, I mean, Brady has really been owning social media lately. I mean, what, you know, it's obviously he has people helping him with it, but the fact that he's, the fact that he's into it. You wouldn't be doing this if you weren't into it, you know? He obviously likes it.
Sure. And even pushed the envelope last week where some people thought he was sort of taunting the Colts by riding them early in the week.
Yeah.
I think
he was just having
fun.
And
then he really rode them on the field, made them his bitch.
Mike in Nova Scotia writes in, someone needs to put Bob Kravitz in his place. His reporting of the story is outrageously dishonest, biased, and irresponsible. Everyone knows his source is the Colts. First, he finds out the NFL is looking into the inflation of the balls, or deflation, and somehow turns it into the NFL is investigating the possibility the Patriots deflated football Sunday night. I read everything I could find today, and no one from the NFL said they were investigating the Patriots or suggested that the Patriots had anything to do with any issues with the game balls. Here's what NFL.com had to say. Quote, NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported Monday via NFL spokesman Michael Signora that the league is looking into the apparent use of overly deflated footballs by the Patriots during their win. Notice the difference in tone. Then he followed up with this tweet. Quote, told if a league investigation confirms deflated footballs, it will result in lost draft picks. Stay tuned. So now he jumps to the Patriots losing draft picks if the balls were deflated without mentioning that the Patriots would have to be proven to have done it themselves. Also, there is nothing in the league rules about losing draft picks. The only punishment specifically mentioned is a $25,000 fine.
Does this guy know that the Patriots provide the footballs?
Yeah, well, so now Kravitz has the internet in an uproar, and every article has a headline about the Patriots being investigated for deflating the balls and being at risk of losing draft picks. Monday morning on EEI, Kravitz says this, quote, when I heard it, I thought, man, that's outlandish. Do I really want to go with this? And then I thought, well, everybody thought the idea of them taping practice was outlandish. So at the end, it's a source that I trust implicitly, and I've never been steered wrong before. Did he just really justify suspicion about the deflation of balls by referencing something that never happened? The best part was how he prefaced it by saying he didn't really want to believe something outlandish. He followed that up by retweeting someone saying Belichick didn't deny using deflated balls. Actually, when Belichick was asked if he knew anything about using deflated balls, he said, I didn't know anything about it until this morning. Sounds like a denial to me. It really pisses me off when journalists twist information to suit their own agenda. Most of them never get called out for it.
I don't know anything about the specifics of what happened, but I don't think Bob Kravitz did anything wrong. I think he went with what a source told him. The source was right. They're investigating it.
I actually, the first I saw it, I was doing my film column yesterday, and I have my Twitter account, the tweet deck open. I saw a SportsCenter tweet come out on my timeline, and I'm reading it, and it said, you know, Patriots being investigated for deflation of balls could lose draft pick, whatever. And then, like, within 10 seconds, I had just finished reading it, it got deleted. And I thought, oh, that must have been like an Onion kind of story that SportsCenter picked up and just realized, oh, wait a minute, we got fooled. There's nothing to it. And I didn't think anything of it. And then later in the day, somebody called me and said, hey, did you know that this deflated ball thing is on the evening news or whatever? And I was like, what? It's real?
Yeah.
Because I thought it was a joke at first.
Right. Alex from Philly.
But Fred, you are Mr. Patriot.
Yeah.
Did Bob Kravitz do anything wrong?
I get what – he didn't do anything wrong, but I get what the emailer is saying about the league's quote saying they're looking into the use of underinflated balls.
By the Patriots. Right.
Right, but
the team that provides the ball.
There is a gap there between that and the Patriots did it on purpose, you know.
Yeah,
so I don't know. Alex from Philly. So we beat the Ravens and they call us deceptive, and we crush the Colts and they complain about flat deflating balls. So here come all the haters referencing Spygate all over the place. I am so sick and tired of loser teams crying foul when they get their asses kicked, and now we have to hear this for the next 2 weeks. Funny how these issues didn't come up week 4 at Kansas City. I hope the team rallies together from this and smoke the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, and Bill and Tom can give a double barrel salute to the haters.
Yeah, I'm more interested in Aaron Rodgers bragging that he overinflates footballs. So do we check him or do we not check him? What's going on here?
That's the issue.
It's the NFL's ineptitude in the officiating department and not doing their job.
That is the issue. It really is. Why do you have all these rules in place if you're not going to follow them?
Enforce them. Everything matters except only when they check to see if it really matters, basically.
All right.
And they're worried. Okay, while you're looking for an email.
They're worried too much about player uniforms.
Right.
And what they're wearing.
That matters.
I mean, come on.
Nate Solder, his touchdown was phenomenal. Like, mm-hmm. The more I see it, it's, you know, you're supposed to catch those and just be in the end zone. Like, it's over. He had to catch it and run.
Right.
And beat guys into the end zone.
He ran about 13 yards.
Yeah, 12-yard run or something like that. Yeah.
So, like, that's a great
and then
play.
Dove for the end zone.
Yeah, dove over. Yeah. And, you know, and hugging the ball.
Managed to not have his knee touch the ground.
No, it was an athletic play. Yeah. It was impressive. I know he said he called himself proficient. I got to the end zone, so I guess I was proficient enough. Like, that's an impressive play.
It was. Yeah.
It wasn't an easy catch and an easy run.
He did. He had to do a 180 to catch the ball.
Yes.
Then he had the presence of mind to
get moving.
Get moving, and he had two hands on the ball because he knew he had to protect. He didn't want to fumble it. It was wet.
Right.
He has two guys converging on him. He dives between them. He's huge, too. He's 6'8", 330 pounds.
Maybe that's when the ball got deflated. He squeezed it so hard.
Right.
He's so big, some air squirted out.
Andrew from Red Bank, New Jersey. Enough of this ball talk. Guys, last week before Indy, everyone wanted to talk about the Seahawks. Now you can't. Or now you can, he says. In the absence of Chester's call, let me tell you why we will win and why it's in the bank. One, we are battle-tested. Remember our seven-game stretch against 500 teams?
Yes.
Above 500 teams. Two, our offense is more versatile than Seattle. We can win with a strong running game, see Indy, or win with passing, see the Ravens. Three, I'm sick of the media, mostly ESPN, giving more attention to Green Bay-Seattle game when it just highlights how poorly Seattle played. It was only the last 3 minutes that they won the game off of pretty lucky plays. Remember, everyone, we played Baltimore punch for punch, overcoming two 14-point deficits. Four, same as number three. I think Seattle's D has shown some weaknesses. Did you see how easily Rodgers threw against that D? Green Bay didn't finish the game. I don't think the Patriots have that problem. Five, Brady. He is not going to let this one go. There's a fire in this lad's belly, and he's going to win that game. Six, you're giving Belichick 2 weeks to scheme against a team? That's got to be considered cheating somewhere. Seven.
Not in New York City.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gone with give Belichick 2 weeks.
And he loses to Tom Coughlin.
Right, so, yeah, that's not in my repertoire anymore. Seven, our corners played excellent. Arrington covered T.Y. Hilton. All good points, most of them. Yeah.
All good points, most of them.
Yeah.
But the problem is, Kyle Arrington has definitely shown he is the clamps on T.Y. Hilton. But T.Y. Hilton's not really playing in this game. That's not really relevant to the matchup at hand. Now, the other one was right. I did think the pass defense for the Seahawks was not impressive. Aaron Rodgers was throwing where he wanted to, marching right down the field.
Right.
The problem was they didn't finish in the drives, much like they just didn't finish the game. If they finish those early drives, that game is over, and you're talking about, wow, the Packers took care of that
right.
so-called
now,
Legion
just
of
because they had a bad game against the Packers doesn't mean that they'll play that way in the
right.
Super Bowl either.
Like, I thought our pass defense wasn't great against the Ravens.
The Ravens, right. But his point about Brady, I think, is a legitimate one because since 07 in the playoffs, Brady has not been great. I mean, Paul makes that point a lot.
Let's face it.
He has not been great, and he has had, like, that Baltimore game could have easily been the reemergence of the Brady face. They're down 14 points. Then they come back a little bit. They're down 14 points again. He could have been the woe is me Brady that we have seen.
Yep, pissed
Dead.
Off. Yep.
Instead, he had a great game.
The
he
best.
Follows it up with a blowout and a
good
really
game.
Good game. And yeah, not a great game, but he had
but
a good
bad
game.
Bad weather. Yep.
But at the end of the game, he was more motivated, more enthusiastic in this win because I think he knows
that he's done.
I think he knows that this is it's.
That's caught wind on the internet.
At this age, it's rare for a quarterback to be in the Super Bowl and to win a Super Bowl. He knows, I think, what's at stake, and I think he knows that he hasn't played well in the playoffs.
No.
That's a big factor.
Sure.
I mean, in 07, we saw the glaze in his eyes very early in that game. I don't think that's going to happen again.
But you got to be careful. Now, I agree with you. An argument that's not happening again is the Ravens game. They beat the crap out of him. They came after him. They hit him. And he didn't glaze over. He didn't go into a shell. He didn't start making crappy plays left and right. But that's not a guarantee it won't happen again if Seattle bangs him around early. And that's why I think as we get you do want to run the football. Yes, you can throw based on what Aaron Rodgers did. But based on what Eddie Lacy did, you can run on them too. And this team has shown the ability to run the football. You know, as Bill says in Indy, you know, we can win a lot of different ways. How about we use all those ways? How about we run it? How about we throw it? How
Jonas
about we
Gray?
Gronk it? No Jonas Gray. Jonas Gray is done. Hashtag Blunt is better. Been proven right. Correct? Four carries, four yards.
Gray hasn't gotten a chance to prove anything.
And why does he need a chance?
Because Fred loves him.
Is it not good enough to win 45-7 in the AFC title game?
Because I like him.
Why does and you were actually saying this. I'm going to let people behind the curtain. I don't get it. Why can't you just play Gray? Like, you're literally saying that in a blowout victory.
Right. Why can't
they
just put him in?
Why do they need to?
Give him his reps.
Why? He got his reps. He got his four carries for 4 yards.
What if Blunt gets hurt?
Okay, then we'll play
then
Gray.
I
want him ready.
This isn't a quarterback where you need to
ready.
Get all these reps
this
and throws and
experience.
This isn't
a Blunt versus Gray thing. It's not like, I think
No,
Gray.
It's a Gray thing. He doesn't matter.
I like him.
Gray doesn't matter.
I like
him. He shouldn't play. Why don't you want Darius Fleming to play? Why don't you want anybody to play? Backups play when backups are needed.
Because I like
and
Gray.
And Gray is a backup.
He's my binky. I called him out in preseason. He came in, had a 200-yard game, and I want to see more.
But he's a backup.
Can you blame me?
He's a backup. You need to just come to grips with that. He's a backup. Backups play when needed, not when you're trying to win a football game. That's when starters play
all
if available.
All I am saying
you're gonna be so,
is give he's Gray
gonna be,
a chance.
He's going to be inconsolable if Gray is inactive for the Super Bowl.
And he could
all
be.
And he could be.
He probably won't be, but he could be.
Is give
oh my
Gray
God.
A
just
chance.
Give it up.
Just stop.
Why don't you say that about Tim's?
I'd like to see him get a chance.
Oh, my God, you idiot.
Ryan Timms is going to be your Super Bowl MVP.
Ken in Poughkeepsie, New York. Since Super Bowl 38, only one team wearing their home jersey in the big game has won, the 2010 Packers. 9 out of the last 10 teams wearing their white away jersey has won. And by the way, we're wearing white in 2 weeks.
That's true.
Go Patriots. We
Victory.
Win 27-20.
There it is, right there. Yeah. Did you see? I know everybody. I don't know if this was real or not. Darren Revelle tweeted out this picture of a Nike hooded wind jacket type thing that he thinks they're going to try to get Belichick to wear on the sideline. Which
good
luck. That's I retweeted and said that, but it's sweet.
Really?
It is really. It's Patriots. It's got the Super Bowl logo. It's got the Nike. It's like a white, and it's made out of like a windbreaker or something. It's $200 though. Ooh, it's really nice.
They just jack in.
I would love it.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Hey, there's Jackie Britton on TV.
And the guy from...
Yeah.
from Julian Edelman? Show. TV.
We must
TV
have bought
right
some airtime. Wow,
Patriots
that's
Pro
cool.
Show. On what?
On TV.
Yeah, but what channel I think he means.
I don't
You're
know.
Such an idiot.
It's not the NFL Network, because that's over here.
It's Monday Night Patriots. It's on CSN. We're in bed with them. Oh. They air our show.
That's no fire.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not really TV.
Rich is
what
in...
What is in? It's like...
Rich is in New Jersey. Yeah. Hey, Rich.
I didn't say that.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to bring up something that nobody talked about today would be Josh McDaniels' play calling in
yep.
the red zone.
Oh, in the red zone.
You run the ball for 150 yards, and you're on the three-yard line, and McDaniels throws the ball three times.
Yeah, but wasn't that a clock thing?
Yes.
It may have. I can't remember.
Remember, Brady had to sneak in order to get the first down to get close.
They had
no timeouts, and that used up a lot of clock. At that point, they really didn't.
He's talking about the end of the first half.
Yeah, they weren't able to run. Because,
let's get to the deeper question. Why do you hate Josh McDaniels? No, I'm being serious, because I thought he did. You know, I said I was going to criticize him if he outthought himself this week.
He didn't outthink himself.
He ran the game plan that I think we all expected. They ran
Blunt
the football.
Ran the ball 30 times.
They utilized it to set up the passing game, play action. You know, Brady messed that up, but whatever. And we're still trying to run Josh out of town. Why? No timeouts. It was a time where you had to pay attention to the situation.
You know, some people think he overthinks it. Other people says he's not creative enough. Well, in the last two games, he's had two pretty creative calls for touchdowns.
And we threw in the Edelman end around, the quick snap there. I mean,
haven't
seen
they've
been creative. They've done different things, but they've also run the football. Just leave Josh alone. Just leave him alone.
Maybe I wasn't realizing the time on the clock.
You just wanted to pounce because you hate him.
Yeah, and I know it was a lot of plays that they had and they didn't score, but the running, they couldn't really run because of the clock.
And I just don't understand why fans hate Josh. It's
all right,
a lot of them.
Thank you for bringing my attention. I didn't realize.
And I'm not harping on you individually. Yeah. I just want to make sure you know that.
That's fine.
But, you know, when I remember I tweeted out, like, McDaniels interviewing with, you know, whatever job during the bye week,
Atlanta or
San Francisco. Yep. And people were like, good riddance. Now we can get a real offensive court. Like, what has he ever done to be considered inept that you want to run him out of town? Why?
People used to complain about Charlie Weiss the same way.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Right.
They thought that Charlie was selfish, that he would play, run these plays just to make himself look good.
I just think Josh has done a pretty good job for a long time,
Rich,
in different ways, putting together offenses with different personnel, different groups and styles and this and that. And I just think he's a pretty good coach. I know I'm a McDaniels apologist, but I think he's pretty good.
Yeah,
and I think this was a good game by both coordinators. I thought Matt Patricia did a hell of a job this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think those guys deserve some of the credit. I think it was a team effort. Everybody I thought was really good. But I think both those coordinators put together game plans that beat the snot out of the Indianapolis
Colts. What I really want to know is Bill Belichick knew going in, because he's, you know, he looks at the weather. What's going to happen?
I thought he doesn't.
He
look
knew it was going to pour. Why do you wear a hoodie? Why don't you wear something that
like a rain repellent?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I wear hoodies.
Maybe he's superstitious.
I don't know, man. I mean, that's pretty and you get soaked and heavy. Yeah, yeah. And this time of year, he's always sick. He's got to watch out for himself. He's got to take care of himself. We need him to be healthy these next 2 weeks.
He's fine. I think he's actually better this year than he's been. He had that stretch a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Where he dealt with the health issue, whatever it was, post game with the trainers, and he had the little thing on his lip.
You know it's going to rain. Wear something rain repellent. You can wear the hoodie underneath.
But he does what he does.
I know he does what he does. I'm just telling. Do what's the right thing.
But it's over.
Take care of yourself.
Oh, come on,
it's over now.
Yeah. Take
now,
care,
Eric. In all seriousness, we were talking about Brady and the end, and you know awareness.
Yep.
Did you see his Facebook post the other night, sitting at Gillette Stadium,
yes.
up in the crowd?
And, yes, I did.
Fred got mad at me because I, from afar, you know, and a former English major, I thought that was an interesting photo of a guy sort of off the field,
mm-hmm.
taking in the environment. I thought it
soaking
was
soaking it up.
Yeah.
You know, recognizing
being aware
the moment.
The end is,
yes.
I said to Fred, if that same photo had been taken, but Brady is on the 50-yard line, I wouldn't have looked at it the same way. To me, the fact that he was off the field,
in the stands,
taking in the environment, looking from afar down on his home and workplace,
and the sun was setting,
just felt a little bit like a guy.
Did you notice that too?
A guy who's aware of the end.
Yes.
And now I'm not saying he's done. And this is, that was some people tweeted me. I agree with you, Andy. I think that was his last game played at Gillette Stadium.
Oh, come on now.
I'm not sure I'm going that far.
Yeah.
But I think he's well aware of the ending, and he's more observant. It's almost like when Parcells and Belichick made up. And remember, Parcells said something about as you get older and realize it's you look at things differently.
Yes.
I forgot exactly how he worded it. I think Brady's looking at things differently in a lot of different ways this year.
I absolutely agree.
I think he has. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder.
I think he wants to show everybody. Well, and I know he takes umbrage when people try to bring up the fact that he is, you know, 37.
But he jokingly does. He has not snapped. He says
no.
Oh, what stage is that?
Exactly.
Oh, advanced age. That's a nice way to put it. Like he playfully points it out.
Plus, he also, this happened a week after Peyton Manning, who's only a year older than him, looked pretty bad in a loss at home in the playoffs. And that happened fast. A year ago, Peyton was throwing the ball all over the Patriots, going to the Super Bowl.
Nobody
where he got blown out. But
nobody but Fred saw it coming.
That's right.
So I think you're right. I mean, I really do think there's something to it. I think he recognizes the moment that he's in, and I think he's maybe enjoying this more.
I agree.
Than he has in other years.
It's not business to him. It's not the next game. It's not, you know what I mean? It's
the next one.
It's,
right.
It's not the biggest because it's the next one. It's the
biggest
because
it might be the last one. And it might be the last one.
Right.
Right. And, yeah, the whole
thing. Why am I aligned
here? You know, they haven't won in 10 years. They haven't won since.
Because we're smart.
You know, I think that they all want to, you know, prove that they can do this.
Redemption in the desert.
Alden in Connecticut talks about the ball. We'll get past that. But he also says, I'm worried for the Super Bowl mainly because of the matchups. Our defense is more geared to shutting down a passing attack. Our run defense, while it has played all right, has been pretty poor recently. That being said, I think we have enough of an advantage on offense to win this game 20-17.
I agree.
On a side note, Andy, there is a Twitter account solely devoted to putting out
Jay
the
Perry?
Stupid things that Phil Simms says. My favorite from the Colts game was, Edelman is a little different from Welker because he runs routes.
Phil Simms said that?
Yeah.
On the air?
I guess so.
He's an idiot.
Edelman's different because he runs routes.
Yeah.
He also reportedly called Devlin Duckman. Like a slip of the tongue, but he called him Duckman.
I don't really think Phil Simms is a very good color analyst. I'm sorry. He's not.
Okay, who do you want?
Well, you're not getting Chris Collinsworth.
But you can only have one.
Well, it's
for
an
like
NBC
each
game.
Game.
So he,
no, I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, in general, like, is he so bad he shouldn't be doing it? Or is he not as good as Collinsworth?
I think very possibly of the people that are, you know, the B, C, D teams, there's a better color analyst than him.
I think
Rich Gannon is probably better than him.
I don't know.
You know?
I don't think it's an easy job.
I haven't really heard.
I don't think it is either. But he never really adds much to it. Chris Collinsworth adds stuff to it. I even think Troy Aikman's gotten better, you know, over the years. I thought he was kind of
I think it's impressive, too, when the analyst is able to dissect immediately what happened on the play.
That's Collinsworth's strength.
That is really,
it really is.
That is good.
Unless you have an ineligible receiver,
Well, yeah.
Because then he just sleepwalks past.
Well, but everybody got caught off guard by that one.
No, but Collinsworth will often, before
as soon
replay,
as they have the replay, he already knows what the replay is showing.
Right.
That takes some skill to recognize what's going on with
but
the
ultimate. Bottom line is, you can't have just one guy.
No.
You know, there's multiple. Right. You got to have a whole group of them. And is Phil Simms fireable? Is he not worthy of being one of the six
scholar
guys?
He shouldn't be the A team guy.
Yeah, I don't agree with you that there's a lot of other guys that I've seen below that should be on the A team.
Yeah, I don't know.
The guy with the Chico stash or whatever, he wasn't very good. Dan Dierdorf wasn't very good. My guy Moose Johnston, not very good.
Yeah,
there's a
Troy Aikman, not very
Paul.
I think he's gotten better.
Paul's back, by the way.
Paul is back. He graces us with his presence after his gigs.
I used to put Aikman with Simms as about the same, but I think Aikman has gotten better. I really do.
See, I would flip-flop those two. Really? I think Aikman is terrible. Yeah. I don't think Simms is very good either, but I think Aikman is really
How come
bad.
Boomer doesn't do it?
It's a good question.
Because he does radio.
It's a good question.
Probably too arrogant.
Well, maybe they like him better for the studio show. He can't do both.
No, he does color on radio, right?
No, I know.
That's
that.
What I'm saying. He does TV studio show.
Right. He does
and then he does the radio.
I think he could be good at it. He's very opinionated.
Yeah.
Oh, that no doubt. Yeah.
So I think he could be good at it. And I think he's pretty knowledgeable and
Matt
open.
Chatham. Let's go to Marcus in D.C. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Sup?
Nothing much. I wanted to call in and tell Patriots Nation that Fred is a man of his word. And he came and met us at Davio's, and
you did.
That's right.
He had a coat.
Did you?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So he was working hard.
Yeah, Marcus
was man working.
It was good seeing you. Yeah.
How was the whole experience? The whole weekend experience.
Oh, the weekend was great. I mean, you know, Davio's was wonderful. I went to the hall. That was great. And met Fred. Wonderful. Did you guys even hear about the tailgate situation that happened?
No.
What do you got?
Oh man, so we had over at the tailgate. And the state troopers come deep. They pull up, and would you believe that some Colts fans had come into town that morning and rented a car, and it had 2 kilos of heroin in the trunk.
Really? So that's what happened.
Oh, Fred.
That's awesome.
Are you serious?
That's awesome.
Yes, I'm very serious. They were out there for about 2 hours.
Wait, so you're saying they rented a car that already had the heroin in it?
Yeah, it already had the heroin in it. So
when they
opened the trunk to get some stuff out, the jack or whatever, to put up a tent, and they pulled up the jack part of it, and the heroin was in the back of the trunk, so they immediately said, hey, we're not dealing with this, we're calling the cops. So they called the cops, and cops came out.
Wow. How do you lose heroin? Like, if that's your heroin, don't you know where it is at all times?
Someone lost his life for
that
one.
Yeah, might have been in a hurry, and God.
Wow,
yeah,
that's wild.
That was crazy, but the experience was great. I'm already having dreams of a Super Bowl win, 24-17. I'm looking for Devlin to hit Cam Chancellor in the mouth. Looking for Gronk to go one-on-one with Sherman on the goal line and just beast him. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Don't peak too early. You got a ways to go here.
Yeah.
I know, but hey, I got a lot of energy. I got 2 weeks left in me.
That's right. You got that heroin in you.
Yeah, I know.
There you go. Now, Marcus, the person you're with, is that your girlfriend?
Yeah, that was my girlfriend.
Good job.
Thanks.
Good job,
I appreciate it. She called into the show once and gave me a lot of smack.
Yeah.
He was doing his job.
As soon as she has a chance,
she's
going to call it again.
Yeah.
Well, we welcome her. That's interesting, Fred. Right,
I said, you just got to be ready for Andy. He's a child. He can't help
it. It's true. It's true. And I've been working hard today with all this ball talk.
I know. And I was disappointed that it came out, but it is what it is. We'll see what turns out from it. But it does kind of damper the spirits a little bit. But, I mean, come on. We didn't need to do it. I'm sure it didn't help much, even if it did happen. But I just hope we didn't do it. And I just hope that it just gets, the NFL can come out and say it was nothing to do there, and we can just move on and concentrate on the football.
Yep. Right. And I'm pretty sure they're going to.
All right.
Never know.
I hope so.
Thanks, Marcus.
But
all right,
I do. Like,
all right. Have a good one.
There's a couple ways to take it as a Patriots fan. You get defensive. Oh, they're going to hate us again. They're going to come up. Then there's the, why can't we just win? Like, why? How come every time we win, there has to be some controversy? Almost frustrating.
I say embrace the hate. Maybe we did.
I don't think that was 08, right? Yeah. I don't think that's the way to go.
I do. We're never going to convince these people otherwise.
No matter what happens,
we've got an asterisk. It's over. They're never going to be convinced. So just go with it.
So how far do you take that? Like that theory.
Hey, maybe we did something. You better be on your toes because you never know what we're going to do.
Well, that's the red theory. That's the red R back there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we might. We might have taken the hot water out of the showers on you.
I think your better tack is just to say, hey, you know what? Every time we beat somebody badly, they have an excuse why they lost. That's to me the better approach to take.
Yeah, but I'm not as nice as you.
He's not nice. That's true. So you know.
The hell I am not.
Maybe we could just say God bless you.
And I also thought it was interesting yesterday when Bill was talking about the on to, because he finished the trophy ceremony with just saying,
right,
we're on to Seattle.
Right.
And they asked him about that becoming a phrase, and did he know at the time? And he said, quite honestly, it's all I could think of when I was getting a bunch of questions I didn't want to answer.
You know what? He said that?
Yes.
That's probably the most honest thing I've ever heard.
Really? It really is. Yeah. Like, he could have just said it was the only thing I was saying, but when he says a bunch of questions I didn't want to answer.
Right.
I was like, that. See, Bill, if you're honest with me, I appreciate
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Just tell me. I don't want to answer questions today. Don't be the a-hole. Just say, I'm going with this today because
yeah.
I don't want to answer these questions.
That phrase has taken on a life of its own.
What was the one he had today? And I forget it now already when he was talking about the websites. You know, you can look that
Pro
up.
Pro Football Extra.
Extra.
Yeah.
Pro Football Focus. Look it up, Pro Football Extra. I'm sure they have it. I actually love when he does that stuff.
Right.
Because it's what I do best.
Well,
I'm mocking others.
I like when he does it the first time.
Yeah, he
gets a little old with my face and
yearbook.
And, you know, yeah, goes to that well a little. Like I'm wont to do occasionally in the humor area on this show. I also thought it was interesting that he compared Russell Wilson to Roger Staubach. And almost in a the kid in him came out a little bit like you can't really put words to it and explain it. It's like he should be tackled, and then he has these big plays, and it's like the little kid in him that remembers Staubach doing it.
Yeah, but of all the ridiculous plays in that game, the most ridiculous to me was that 2-point conversion.
Oh, yeah, but he's not talking about that.
Ball, he just threw it up, and the ball was up there forever, and no one moved. It was just like...
Yeah, that was actually a bad play.
It was bad on Russell Wilson's part.
Yeah, and bad on the defense for letting it stay up in the air that long and not being able to react.
But he's talking about the runs and the good Russell Wilson and the knack for knowing a guy's there and kind of in whatever that's called. Why you're making me annoyed.
He's pointing at Brady and Giselle's Facebook photo.
Are we sure that's Giselle? Because that looks a lot like Aaron Andrews.
Fred creating controversy.
My God.
Doesn't it?
Aaron Andrews was in Seattle, so.
Oh. Steve in Virginia. Hey, Steve.
Hey. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think that's what Coach Belichick adheres to. So, LeGarrette is the beast of the East. If the holes are big enough, your grandma can run through them.
Okay. Words of wisdom.
Thanks. You guys are still hanging with me, right?
I got you.
Yeah.
All right, but what about DeQuell Jackson? Are we supposed to take him at his word? I mean, does he know how the ball feels better than Walt Anderson and his crew?
Well, listen.
And then
maybe not, but the refs agreed with him enough to, you know, send it upstairs. So
we don't know if it was that ball. We don't know if it's the DeQuell Jackson interception.
What happened to the football?
Well, I don't know, but you're talking about different balls. DeQuell Jackson happened a long time before the first play of the third quarter when there was that extended period waiting for a ball and a ball they discarded.
What was the score then?
17-7.
17-7 when he handed the ball over.
Oh, no. I believe it was 14.
The interception was... Yeah.
That extended timeout, we were told that was because a kicking ball was on
the field. What Mike Carey said.
Yeah.
That guy's never been right.
That's true.
The interception was early in the second quarter. It was
14-7?
No, it was still seven. It was still seven.
It was 14-0.
All right,
14-0. Excuse me.
Your connection is annoying. It's like every other word is going out. But we get it. We're with you.
If Paul said half the stuff he says off his mic, this would be a much more entertaining
show. Anything could have happened to that ball once it went to fields. Who knows what Seattle did to it? You know,
Seattle was about
we
a whole
have been
country
set
away.
Up like a mother
in Indy.
I mean, it's Indy, yeah.
But they're different balls. We're not talking about the same ball. That's a different ball than the one that was removed. And I think a single ball, we've talked about this, if you want to take it for the surface value, I don't think a single ball would be a problem. I think the problem would get into if there's a whole slew of Patriots balls that are deflated.
Right.
But, and I, again, that should have been decided on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
If it's decided now, I don't buy into it. I'm going to go on the Patriots defense side big time.
Yeah.
I don't know where those balls have been, how much the temperature has changed with those balls, who touched them, who stuck a needle in them.
It's, yeah.
You know what would have been a good bit to run today, Kevin, was the sweaty balls bit that we have.
You know, he's not even listening.
Alec Baldwin.
He's not listening to you at all.
He's not.
You're not on his radar.
It's unbelievable. We got a live show going on.
No respect.
Yeah.
Zero.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
That was a quick 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Balls.
John Rook's here, so he's
feeling a little deflated now.
John, you can say balls as many times as you want today. It's the word of the day.
John, I have
I'm just feeling a little queasy about all these balls around here. So that's,
Paul took a shirt off.
I'm queasy. I'll tell you, I'm queasy. Paul just took a shirt off.
Now I know why I feel queasy.
John, I just want, you know, you're a journalism professor.
I try to be.
And as we know today with in the digital, headlines matter. And proof of that today was your article. I think the headline was inflated numbers lead to deflated feelings.
Yes.
Went nuts. Everybody.
Does that mean I did well in the SEO count today?
Yeah, everybody clicked on it. It was what we call
SEO.
Spiking today. Your column was spiking today on Patriots.com.
Well, thank you for the compliment. Yeah. Since you're the boss, I take that doubly well. Thank you very much.
It was good.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You know, it is a little bit strange to be talking about, you know, footballs or any kind of balls for that matter, but... You know, that's just right up Andy's, you know.
Right?
Oh, you should have heard a guy earlier. I thought he was trying to get me. He kept saying, you know, and you can rub your balls and you can beat your balls. But
and
I felt like I was being set up.
He lost it.
It's hard to talk about. I mean, we've seen veteran news anchors smirk a little when they've been doing this story the last 2 days.
Well, the smart ones are saying
football. Yeah. Right. No, and the ones like Andy are saying balls and smirking.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Just like, you know. All the other 12-year-olds in the audience. So, yeah.
Get All right, John. We got a lot to talk about today, I'm sure.
No, we got nothing to talk about, Fred. Yeah. Zero.
You really don't.
But we'll talk about it.
You really don't. If you were going to do a real nitpick Tuesday.
This is what we call radio gold, because now we have stuff to talk about until we actually get to the game
right
this time next week. Right? So it's all good.
All right. Stay tuned for the playbook. And then I guess there's still some fantasies at 4. Right?
Katy Perry.
Does it have anything to do with balls?
Kevin's still not listening. All right,
my fantasies don't have anything to do with balls.
Oh, yeah, they do.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.